Sports.com.
It's time for the most knowledgeable and informative show based around the world of professional wrestling. Thought we weren't supposed to use that word anymore. OWW Radio, with your host, Mr. Personality, Alan Wojcik.
It's not my fault I happen to be charismatic.
Along with the loudmouth assassin, the Spud Guy.
I just act that way to get chicks, dumbass.
The resident Aussie, Mace.
I am not going to lie to these people just because it makes them feel good.
Guest starring Kevin Scott as Jamal.
What it is, my nizzles, I got chili for shizzle!
What? It's time for OWW Radio, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Detroit players, Tim's for my hooligans in Brooklyn. That's dead right, get the head right, Biggie there, and I. Papa been fooled since days of under rules. Never lose, never choose to. Bruce, cruise, who? Do something to us. Talk, go,
welcome, everybody, to a brand new online World of Wrestling Radio. That intro is hysterical. On the Wild Talk Radio Network. Yeah, I decided to change that up. Thanks,
like Ciroc.
Well, we're gonna flip it around. I wanted to get some of the folks in here because it's been almost a year since I've taken over this product.
Is Jamal here, by the way?
He's in the chat room. He will possibly be joining us later on. He may join us in a few minutes. As noted, Spug's here, back from Future Endeavors, from his employment, which I'm sure could take up an entire bashing at the books, or from Tap Out to Knockouts podcast. Mace is back on Online World of Wrestling Radio. Good evening and welcome.
Greetings. I shall not be talking about why, because I don't want to take up time, so let's get into the wrestling.
All right.
You quit your job, didn't you? Just ask.
Hey.
Yes, I did. Now shut up.
Alright, the number is, as always, 267-297-1397 is the way to join us here if you wish to at any point during our show. If you want to Skype Sorokin, he will take your calls. Phil Strum of the Poughkeepsie Journal will join us in a little while. Kevin Scott, as noted in our credits, playing Jamal as always, is here. Jersey Girl may join us in the 10 o'clock hour. My friend Michael Gorey, who was sitting at WrestleMania and had some annoyingly wonderful marks around him during the event, that anytime anybody put anybody up on his shoulders, like the AA or the GTS, the guy apparently screamed,
F5!
And I'm like, okay, so Mike survived, not getting arrested in Atlanta. We're proud of him. I guess his girlfriend Liz kept everybody in check. We are going to talk WrestleMania. We're going to talk Raw. We're going to talk Tough Enough. We're going to talk ROH, Dragon Gate, Evolve, including a Dragon Gate and Evolve star who is rumored to have be either signed or is looking at a developmental deal. But since we didn't talk about him last week because a certain someone said, I don't want to talk about it, and also because we were super packed with WWE news, we are a couple weeks away, believe it or not, from a pay-per-view. No, it's not the one here that's going to be in Tampa at the St. Pete Times Forum, which is Extreme Rules. Talking about Lockdown, which is April 17th. Yes, Lockdown still exists. TNA still exists, despite Spug's finger crossing and sticking his fingers in his ears going, nah, 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 can't hear you. Yes, we can hear you. Unfortunately, the people in Orlando can't hear us because keep getting worse and worse, man.
Why do you think I don't want to talk about it?
Well, Mace is here. Okay, go into your corner. Play with your Triple H doll, since we'll talk about him later on, and his match that saved WrestleMania. We'll talk about that later on.
It did kind of save WrestleMania.
Oh, baby. We'll talk about all that fun stuff, but we got to get some TNA wrestling news out of the way. As I said, pay-per-view is April 17th. But you wouldn't know that unless you went to TNAWrestling.com or watched only during the two-hour block that TNA is on, because you don't see commercials anymore, man. It's weird. It was last night alone during the 2 hours of Monday Night Raw. I lost count of how many times you saw them saying, "Tough Enough, next," on USA Network. "Tough Enough, hey, Tough Enough, Tough Enough, Tough Enough." You watch TV over the weekend on USA Network. It was Raw. It was Tough Enough. Raw, Tough Enough, Hall of Fame stuff. I still don't understand how a company that has on its roster Sting, Mr. Anderson, RVD, Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair, Scott Steiner, all of these names, and you can't get anybody to watch your product. I mean, Kevin Scott gave it up for Lent. Well, maybe not for Lent. I think he gave it up because it was that, or it was going to Manor Care or South Oaks in Amityville, Long Island. But here's the rundown of what you missed. And I know everybody that's on this roster right now missed it, and that's okay. Scott Steiner defeated Shannon Moore, and the most entertaining part of this entire show was Eric Young doing commentary with Orlando Jordan. They were sitting with Tanae and Taz. Now stay with me, because this is where it gets funny. Eric Young had on a shirt that I believe it said, "I love tag teams," or "I love tag teaming." Orlando Jordan was dressed, well, in, make sure I get this outfit right, because it even made my wife go, "What the heck is that?" He was in white platform shoes, a tutu, and basically butterfly angel's wings that match the color of the tutu.
Didn't he have – weren't they rainbow colored?
Yes.
Were the angel's wings and the halo rainbow colored?
Yes.
That's what I thought.
Yes. And that made the damn show, because up until that point, you saw no wrestling. It was total nonstop talking. You had Anderson threatening Earl Hebner, RVD coming out saying, "You know what, I don't want the shot." Earl going, "Well, I don't have the power to change it." Hogan and Bischoff coming out saying, no, we're going to do a three-way at the pay-per-view. Bischoff says, no, let's add people to this. And, oh yeah, for no reason, even though we're a month away from it, let's put them all in a cage. Why not save that for, oh, I don't know, the week before lockdown? I don't know. As I said, I'm trying to understand TNA wrestling. And yes, we've confirmed that Desmond Wolf has been turned into an action figure. So if you find Papa Shango or you find the Boogeyman at a convention or something near you, get them, have them meet us. We need their help in converting people. We had a battle, as if you didn't separate the Hardy Boys, now you separated the Buck Brothers. We've got an ego thing going where Max Buck and Jeremy Buck are fighting. Max Buck won by cheating. And, for people that are going, you know, what's Alan drinking to watch this show? Probably the same thing that Angelina Love has drinking. If you're following that storyline, Winter apparently is poison, possibly Angelina. Yes, that's really the storyline they're going with. I just nod my head and go, okay, whatever. So we had Winter defeat Velvet Sky in a match. Angelina came out. Angelina stood there. Angelina really didn't do anything except have, what was the phrase my wife said? Oh, my wife said, "Did she purposely lube up the chest, or is it just me?" Because the reflection off the boobage was blinding the children in the first two rows. So, okay, that's the way it goes. Now, show of hands, I'm guessing since you knew about the fun outfit, you did watch some of Impact's book.
Like 45 seconds worth.
Okay, now here's where it gets fun. As I said, the show was opened by Mr. Anderson and Sting having issues. 10 o'clock hour rolls around. That's right. In the 10 o'clock hour, we actually had three matches, which is pretty good for TNA. Mr. Anderson comes out, calls out Sting, and we redo the entire opening of the show. Sting and Anderson brawl all over the place. Immortal comes out. They attack Sting and Anderson. RVD comes out, but RVD only saves Sting. Not a shock whatsoever. We had a fake 911 call made by the Jarretts. This storyline is just driving me absolutely nuts, because it's just like, get him in the ring or just shut it up. How many antics can you possibly do for this kind of thing? I don't understand.
Speaking of Jarrett and Angle, is it just me, or did you want to punch Angle in the mouth when he started bitching about people using the ankle lock in his moves?
Oh God, well, we can incorporate that a little bit here, because Mace did watch some of WrestleMania. This did happen. We'll break away from the TNA Impact recap just for a second. To either one of you, we are on Twitter. My name is Wojcik. Spug is Tap Out 2KO, and Mace is the Mace thing. Kevin K. Scott is Kevin_K_Scott. Was it during the pay-per-view we had all this talk of ankle locks and everything?
I think it was during the pay-per-view.
Yeah, it was during the pay-per-view, but according to Kurt Angle himself, he was either hacked or a family member got in onto his account, depending on which story you wish to believe.
He wasn't hacked. He wasn't hacked.
Well, he was on another show last night. I just happened to try and listen to it. And, you know, if their stream wasn't screwing up every 30 seconds, I probably would have understood what Kurt had said. But, you know, I agree with CM Punk. You know, I've been hacked should translate into I'm a drunken douche.
Yeah, it should. And, you know, the funny thing is, like, the moment... Because Dave Lagana was actually putting out a couple of funny tweets on Monday Night Raw about Angle bitching about his moves being stolen. And I was sitting there thinking, I'm like, you know, if you're going to bitch about the ankle lock being taken, I'm pretty sure Ken Shamrock has a legitimate bitch too.
Yeah, I mean, can you actually copyright a move? Is there a trademark thing? Because if that's the case, Jake the Snake Roberts is owed hundreds of thousands of dollars from everyone who's ever hit the DDT, and I'm sure you two are guilty of it, so pony up some money.
I'm not paying him anything. It's going to go straight up his nose or into his forearm.
Oh, you never know. Or to dental work. I heard he has some dental issues.
He has some bad teeth.
I don't understand it. Maybe it's me, but people are just... living the gimmick issue, maybe? I don't know. Is that the case with Angle, or is he just trying to deflect from, Sir Rockin just brought up here. Angle said that he originally thought his account was hacked, but then discovered that a member of his family used it after he went to bed. Angle apologized for what happened and has apparently talked to Randy Orton to clear the air and confirm that it was all okay. What the heck?
Wait, Randy Orton?
I thought that's what Sorokin put there. Was that about Randy Orton or was that about Jack Swagger? Oh, Phil Strum is also at Under the Ring. We need to put that over because Phil will be here later. Well, he ran it about Orton as well. Okay. Well, it was a long night for Kurt Angle, I guess.
Here's the thing, dude. You know, you can criticize and critique all you want. Nobody's telling you you can't. But the moment you start talking about stealing moves, and yeah, there's a little bit of a code in the back. Like, Mystico does this really freaking awesome, like, top rope, almost rock bottom, right? I would never touch that. One, because I can't, and two, because that's sort of unique to him. You know what I mean? The ankle lock is the ankle lock is the ankle lock is the ankle lock. Ken Shamrock did it before him, before Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle did it before Swagger, and hundreds of indie guys across the country used it before Ken Shamrock. You know, there's there's a little bit of a code when it comes to extremely unique moves, but general things like a DDT, an ankle lock, a fisherman's suplex, shit like that. Nobody's going to say anything, or should say anything for that matter.
Yeah, let me wrap up TNA by saying Kurt Angle did defeat Rob Terry. Maybe Kurt was ticked because he was taken into custody by Orlando PD on the fake charges, which seems to be the current, you know, train of thought here. You know, you don't like something, you arrest somebody or you file charge. This is from
question for you, Alan.
Are you serious? That's from CM Punk's Twitter. Yes, sir.
Was he taken into custody by the Orlando PD before or after he was taken into custody by the Minnesota PD?
Oh, when he got busted in North Dakota, it was taped before that. It was taped before their trip to North Dakota, so it was taped on the Tuesday before he got busted up there. So
remember,
yeah,
he slid on a patch of ice. Wait, there was no ice on the road.
Exactly. So Kurt Angle goes to TV jail. Your main event of that show was Bubba, Bully Ray, Abyss, and Matt Hardy defeating RVD, Sting, and Mr. Anderson. Now here's where this lockdown match gets fun as my wife walks in ready to kill me. During the match, Sting jumps Anderson. Or Anderson jumps Sting, depending on how you look at it. I don't know. So everybody gets in the cage, but Anderson. Anderson literally grabs a folding chair, plops his butt at ringside, and starts watching this match. I would have hightailed it from my bags, going, "Oh, I'm going back to the WWE." Seal it. Oh, wait. Lost my train of thought. Not
that
hard these days.
That's a lot with you.
Yeah, not hard these days. So, who shows up but Hulk Hogan? No, I got no problem with Hogan coming out to the ring. What I do have a problem is with Hulk Hogan coming out into the ring in his truss, which you want to make Hulk Hogan look bad. That's the way to do it. I understand the gentleman has back issues. I understand at one point he had a muscle spine stimulator implanted in his lower back. But to come out to the ring with what he was wearing just made me go, really? I love Hulk Hogan, the character. But dude, stay in the back. Okay, Anderson gets tossed in the ring. Yippee! Match ends. Boo! Or yay, depending on how you look at the show. Fortune comes out. Fortune fights. We brawl. Anderson turns on Sting and RVD. All kinds of craziness. And if the craziness wasn't enough, for no reason whatsoever until you're found out later on, they were talking, Fortune was going, yeah, you know, he's here. And I'm like, oh God, they brought back AJ already. Wrong! The fallen angel Christopher Daniels is back. Or Daniels, if you follow just TNA, they refer to him as his last name. I don't know if they're just, you know, first names are bad in this promotion. I don't understand it. You know, the man's name is
TNA.
And yes, I understand the man's name is Frankie Kazarian. Or his stage name is Frankie Kazarian. I understand it, but I don't. Later on, you're found out in post-show interviews, especially with Ric Flair going, who was that guy? He's nobody. I'm like, okay, whatever you say, Rick. He was just helping keep this company afloat from day one when you were elsewhere. And don't worry, we'll talk about Ric Flair later on when we talk Hall of Fame, because from what I was told, that was an interesting evening in itself. So you've got all this backstage brouhaha going on, and once again, the show turned into total nonstop talking. Yes, there were some good matches. The Buck Brother match was pretty decent. It looks like, depending on what you believe from the TNA website and from the news sheets, it is Sting versus Mr. Anderson versus RVD in a triple threat or three-way dance. Whatever. They haven't laid that out yet. For the world title at lockdown. We still have the Knockouts champion, Madison Rayne, taking on Mickie James and her hair. Kurt Angle and Jeff Jarrett are still on the card. Eric Young announced that there's apparently a four-team match. And I may be wrong on this because Eric was talking so fast. He's kind of going like, dude, seriously, what? Who? What? Huh?
It's Eric Young and Orlando Jordan taking on Inc., taking on, I believe, Scott Steiner and Crimson, taking on a mysterious fourth team, which most likely is Magnus and Douglas Williams, since they, well, came out and attacked everybody, which, you know, great way to keep continuity there. I'm a face. I'm Douglas Williams. I'm helping Matt Morgan in his crusade against the mortal. Oh, hi, Magnus. Cool. We're British. Let's go again. Once again, find Desmond Wolfe. We're possibly going to be offering a very large reward. This also is supposed to be a Lethal Lockdown pay-per-view match. Don't know who, though. Could be Immortal versus Fortune. Could be cats and dogs versus cows and chickens, for all I know. TNA's not talking yet. But they already filmed the rest of TV, I believe, to get to the pay-per-view this past weekend while everybody was in Atlanta for WrestleMania. Now, the other match that was announced, but they're not announcing everybody in it, is going to be an Ultimate Escape match. It is the Ultimate X Champion, sorry, X Division Champion. I don't know why I call him the Ultimate X Champion. That sounds cooler. I'm the Ultimate X Champion! That would be Frank of the Future Kazarian. Apparently he's going to be locked in the cage with 8
Alan,
Division Stars.
You sound like you're in a tunnel.
Oh, well, and we're going to do this my computer sucks thing again.
Now you sound better.
Ah, okay. Could be the headphones, could be, I don't know, could be Papa Shango working his stuff.
As long as one of us interrupts you every now and again so you can re-level, it's okay.
Okay. Yes, this came from CM Punk's Twitter account. My Twitter account has been hacked. Is the new I'm a sloppy drunk douche. He shoots and scores. Now, you follow the Twitter stuff. I believe there was one going between CM Punk and Stone Cold Steve Austin having to do with their new video game, which at this point I'll turn to the two OTL people in the room. Have either one of you bought this game yet? And have you played it?
I don't have a console.
Okay. I have a copy of it.
Yes. And can you critique it for us, sir?
In a nutshell, it's okay. Like, it's basically SmackDown versus Raw mixed with NBA Jam. Everything's over the top, which makes you go, oh, wow, did you see that for at least 5 minutes? Other than that, this seems like it should have been done as, say, a downloadable title or maybe even a game for iPhone. It doesn't feel like a complete game. But then again, I was playing the PS2 version, and I'm guessing the Xbox 360 or the PS3 version might be a little bit bigger and better. But I'm not willing to drop the money to find out.
Sir Rockin has not obtained a copy, and I probably won't because I couldn't beat the damn TNA Impact game, so I'm dumb video games. It does, so the graphics almost look like, I'm just going from memory, it almost looks like the old WWF WrestleMania thing you could get for N64 or Super Nintendo or all that fun stuff.
To a degree, it's very ultra stylized, everyone's big and bulky, like, in the PS3 demo that I have, you have the Ultimate Warrior going up against Rey Mysterio, and Rey looks almost as big as the Warrior, which really makes no sense to me, but okay. The control style is very finicky, reversals are near impossible to pull off, so it's just like the TNA game. And, yeah, I'll tell you now, if you're gonna buy it, wait until it hits, like, your El Cheapo bin or something like that. It's not worth full money.
I mean, I know in the U.S. in retailing, I think for $44, and depending on the store you go to, I think Target had you get some of those new little bendy bounce. I guess there's a little ring you can get and hit paddles, and the characters jump up and down like little Rey Mysterio and Jumping Beans. And if you can find a copy of it, enjoy. Hopefully you like it. If you don't, go to THQ. I mean, are you fine with Ross and Lawler calling the action, or should, or are there other commentators involved?
No, it's just Lawler and JR, which, you know, I'm quite happy to hear JR on any type of commentary at the moment, as long as he's not covered in barbecue sauce.
Oh, we'll get to that. Tonio in our chat room is saying he rented it. It's lame. Not a big fan of the arcade style gaming. Well, it's different. And does it have the same storyline as a Raw SmackDown thing? You start elsewhere, or can you just jump right in and get playing?
Well, you can sort of jump right in and get playing, but the story modes, at least in the PS2 version, you have three of them. You have one that I've, and the only one I've completed so far, is you're earning the right to challenge The Undertaker at SummerSlam of all places.
Wait, what? And it,
yeah, I know. I figure, okay, why aren't we having him at WrestleMania? I don't know.
Because he won't even lose in a video game.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, I actually liked the little story elements because it's Paul Bearer in the old funeral parlor set, and you'd have The Undertaker in the background working on a casket or something. You know, so it's a harken back to the older days. But other than that, you're basically like doing, one-on-one or, you know, three-way or four-way matches. I had a cage match against Hulk Hogan at one point, which was, cage matches in wrestling games are so horrible to do, no matter what you do. But yeah, if you like NBA Jam stuff, which I do, you might play this for a little bit longer than most people who don't like that type of style. Mind you, the one biggest gripe I have is the finishes, because they have to do a full taunt, which could take anywhere up to about 15 seconds to complete. Then they grapple. By that time, your opponent's got an up hitch in the face 14 times and pinned you.
So there you have it, Mace, with a critique of the new WWE All-Stars game. We're going to reset the show in a moment here, basically because the executive producer, my two-year-old daughter, is in the other room throwing a fit, so I need to go and take a peek and see what's going on in there. Don't forget, website is onlineworldofwrestling.com, all one word, no spaces. Our email address is radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com. Some folks sent their comments about last week's Raw, this past week's Impact. They also sent their notes and feelings on WrestleMania 27. Spug and Mace will be staying with us. As said, after the break, at the 10 o'clock hour, we will possibly be joined by Phil Strum, Kevin Scott, my friend Mike Ligori, possibly Jersey Girl. I don't know. It's all in Will of Wrestling Radio.
Why do we have to cram all those people in the 10 o'clock hour? I need Jamal now.
We're going
to
spread them out. Relax. Because coming up after the break, we're going to talk about all the fun that went on at WrestleMania. If you weren't even at WrestleMania, we'll talk ROH, Dragon Gate USA, Evolve, and WSU. On All Will of Wrestling Radio, we'll be back.
The definitive professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene, all this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a month's click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Nick Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling talent today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam,
Mr. Kennedy,
Christian Cage,
Brett Berry, Candice
McDowell, Christy Hemme,
Jay Lethal,
yesterday,
Brett the Hitman Hart.
This
Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the $1 million man.
Paul Pogey, the greatest of all time.
Jimmy Van the Boogie Wiggleman.
And tomorrow,
TJ Wilson, Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith, Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site the pros use. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
Do you have a certain passion? Maybe you're a geek, a wrestling fan, a sex enthusiast, or you just need something to do for the evening. Then come check out the Wild Talk Radio Network, providing you with the latest in online entertainment. Whether it's getting in the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio, or getting a little R-rated with CB Radio or Anything Goes, or whether you just want to play a game of Dungeons & Dragons with the geeks over to Talk We Talk Live, all you gotta do is head on over to www.wildtalkradio.com and check out all of our daily programming. Wild Talk Radio Network. Come and get wild with us.
This is the Ultimate Warrior! I am taking time from my job delivering pizza for Papa John's to tell all the little model warriors out there to tune into this radio program from the seventh moon of Raxor in the Gaxan Galaxy called Wrestle Talk Radio. This show is on during the apex of the sun and the dark side of Saturn, otherwise known to the masses as Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Time Zones. Or when the WWE or TNA pay-per-viewerships finish and the Warrior stands supreme over the fallen victims of X-Lax. So go, puny masses, and listen to the show, because the power of the Warrior commands you to do it. Now the Warrior needs to go and deliver this meat lover's pizza to the mortals that ordered it.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
Hey, I just can't stand.
Then you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
That really move on. I said shit.
Welcome back to Online World of Wrestling Radio, brought to you by the Wild Talk Radio Network. The music tonight is brought to you by the late, great Christopher Wallace, known as the Notorious B.I.G., who we celebrated the loss of him again this past March, and thanks to Arthur Shimko, who used to work with Rick Gillespie on one of the newsletters I'm a part of. I forgot, today's the anniversary of the deaths of not one, but two great musicians and artists. This date in 1994, just having mega flashbacks, because on this date in 1994, I got to announce to the entire St. John's University campus that Kurt Cobain had been found dead in Seattle. And a few years later, one of my favorite lead singers, Lane Staley of Alice in Chains, also passed away on this day. So sorry to
Alan
crash the show for a second there. Spug joining us, Mace joining us. Yes, sir.
You think Courtney did it?
Well, a little hard to shoot yourself with a shotgun, single barrel shotgun twice, isn't it? I mean, that was one of the stories I heard the police reported said that he suffered 2 gunshot wounds to the chest. So I don't know. I would love to go with that conspiracy theory, but why kill a guy when your career went into the toilet after it?
You know, well, you apparently,
had races being taken away from.
There's a website out there, kind of like, you know, like the 9/11 truthers, but there's one out there for the Cobain thing, for Cobain, with a bunch of stuff from a real high profile kind of private investigator who went through all the evidence that he could get his hands on and actually had gone back to the actual crime scene before Courtney had it torn down. And there was paperwork filed in a Seattle court the week before for divorce by Cobain.
Doesn't surprise me.
He had filed paperwork for divorce from Courtney, and there was actually paperwork that they had found in his office or whatever for a rehab center, a long-term rehab center for drug and alcohol addiction.
Which also doesn't surprise me, because a few months before that, I believe there was an attempted suicide or rumored of suicide in Italy. So,
well, the thing that gets me that, like, you know, everybody's like, well, why would she have a reason to kill him? He's her gravy train. Because the gravy train was gonna leave her.
Yeah, because Hole wasn't that big in 1994. They were, but they weren't. They weren't to the level that Nirvana was. And Nirvana could have been.
Well, you're right, but like, everybody asks, well, why, she had everything she wanted. Why would she kill him? Because he was gonna leave her. He was out. He was done. He wanted to clean himself up.
Well, it's one of those theories that goes around and around and around. And, sorry, Courtney, that you're in the crap you're in right now, but hey, you put yourself there. If you're a fan of indie wrestling, WrestleMania weekend has become your destination, and it's not because of WrestleMania. It's because of companies like Ring of Honor, Dragon Gate USA, and now Evolve getting in the mix. On April 1st, there was not one, but 2 iPay-per-views. This was the Ring of Honor one. Which I believe was at Center Stage in Atlanta, if I have my information correct here. And it saw the crowning of new ROH World Tag Team Champions. And that would be now the former world's greatest tag team. That's right. Shelton Benjamin and Charlie Haas defeated the Kings of Wrestling. And that would be Chris Hero and Claudio Castagnoli, if you're not in the know on that one. Also at that iPay-per-view, Michael Elgin defeated El Generico. One of our favorites, the notorious 187 Homicide, defeated Caleb Connolly, Colt Cabana, and Tommaso Ciampi. Hiro Masumoto and Ayumi Kurahara, which are two ladies wrestlers, defeated Sarah Del Rey and Serena Deeb. The Briscoes, who are going to be a part of a super event on April 23rd in Jacksonville that the NWA Pro Wrestling Fusion promotion is running, they're going to take on the NWA World Tag Team Champions, the Dark City Fight Club. They defeated Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly. Davey Richards defeated Roderick Strong, and in a champion versus champion match, which did not have looks like the ROH TV title on the line. Eddie Edwards, the ROH World Champ, defeated Christopher Daniels. From people that were at the event, was told that it was very well received crowd-wise, and that's pretty cool to see that. And I know the last couple of Manias they've done that. I know in Orlando they had ROH, and out in Arizona, ROH, Dragon Gate were involved as well. Okay, that's interesting. That same night, believe it or not, in the Carolinas, Dragon Gate USA held an event. Jimmy Rave defeated John Davis, Kyle Matthews, and one of my personal favorites, having met him at the Peterson Cup this past winter, Sugar Dunkerton.
2010 Peterson Cup winner Sammy Callahan defeated Rich Swann. Eric Cannon defeated Dan Pazin, Shima Ion, and A.R. Fox in a four-way. Naruki Doi defeated John Moxley. Remember that name? Because it's going to come up in a few seconds. Oh, it's Shima Zion? I'm sorry.
Yeah, Shima Zion.
Okay, thank you. Breakout Challenge, and Pac and Ricochet defeated Chuck Taylor and Akira Tozawa to retain their Dragon Gate USA Tag Team Championships. Apparently Johnny Fairplay was also at this event and was booed vehemently, had a chant of don't... Damn you, Internet. Am I back? Am I here? Am I alive? Yes, I am.
Very good. Johnny Fairplay.
Yeah, I was saying Johnny Fairplay was at this event. Yeah, he's a jerk, having met him in person. We'll talk about Johnny Fairplay in a little bit because his wife is on reality TV, and if you're not following along, I'll connect dots in a moment. John Moxley, as I mentioned, the name, wanted you to remember it because if you read certain outlets that are in the know, it looks like John Moxley has signed a developmental deal with WWE. He is going to be given the chance to, I don't know if he's given the deal or taken the deal. Some friends who remain nameless mentioned it, so I have somewhat license to report it, be it rumor, be it truth. If you've never seen Moxley, he's interesting. He has worked for Combat Zone, Dragon Gate USA. He's the reigning Full Impact Pro World Heavyweight Champion, even though the promotion has seemed to dissolve away into WWNLive.com, which is turning into a basically a rival to GoFightLive.tv. You had, once again, two pay-per-views. This one was on April 2nd. This was ROH Honor Take Center Stage, where you had another great event. Squire Dave Taylor was actually a part of this event, taking on Colt Cabana. You also had Michael Elgin taking on Christopher Daniels. You had the Briscoe Brothers taking on the All Mad Express. You also had a SoCal Showdown return match of Roderick Strong losing to El Generico, and you also had the new tag team champions, wrestling's greatest tag team, of Haas and Benjamin in a basically what ROH called a dream match, and that would be Eddie Edwards and Davey Richards, the American Wolves, and the world's greatest tag team won the event. Dragon Gate also held an event that same night. And if you're a fan of WSU, they held two events over the weekend. On, if you missed it, the winner of this year's WSU J Cup was Brittany Savage. So she has earned the right to take on WSU's Mercedes Martinez. She is a champion and probably will be till the end of time, because who's going to beat this woman? Nobody. I'm saying it. Nobody's beating her. Forget Samoa Joe's undefeated streak. Forget Goldberg's undefeated streak. Mercedes Martinez is the bomb. Deal with it. On iPay-per-view at Uncensored Rumble on June 25th, Mercedes has been champ, believe it or not, for over 25 months, and has now added to her accolades, becoming the WSU King and Queen Tournament winner. She helped Julio, partnered with Julio De Niro to win that event. Yes, Julio. Apparently, Austin Aries is done with Dragon Gate USA. If you watch Tough Enough, you know, yeah, he was not happy with a lot of the stuff that went on with Tough Enough. And don't worry, we'll talk Tough Enough during the next hour or so, because it is definitely interesting. That it's a very tricky situation. I don't understand why someone like Austin Aries is having all these issues, but I don't know if it's an age thing. I'm not sure. why someone wouldn't want Austin. You know, if you were a fan of,
Hinting around it, so you might as well get into it.
Well, I don't understand why he's not somewhere, because the dude had a good character as the Austin Star in TNA Wrestling. Now, I don't know if it's a height issue or not, because if it's a height issue, I point out M-Dog 20, Matt Cross, or Matt whatever his real last name is. I can't pronounce it. I'm not going to try. He's not exactly a tower.
No, he's not. He's a shorty.
So I don't understand if it's – and they're both – he's been on the indie scene 4 years. And I mean legitimately on the scene 4 years, unlike Johnny Fairplay's wife, who was on Tough Enough last night and proclaimed, I've been in the business for 11 years. And then you watch her do the 3-minute rope challenge, and I'm just sitting there going,
wait, that's her?
Yeah, that is Johnny.
That's Johnny Fairplay's wife. Miss 11 years?
Yeah.
Miss self-trained, Miss 11 years?
I gave it up a few years so I could be a model.
Really? Really?
Railing.
Really?
Railing.
Really?
The one that pissed me and Ace off the most last night was that Ariane chick, right?
Oh, yeah.
With Steve Alicious.
When Austin asked her what her favorite match was, and she said, and I quote, Melina versus Alicia Fox, Mace and I lost it.
I was sitting in the living room this afternoon doing the same thing, guys, so you're not alone.
And of course, after that, Alicia Fox starts trending on Twitter, probably because people going, who the hell is she?
Yeah. Well, we were dying. Like, you know, we were talking about, because they had at the end of the first segment, he had him tearing down the ring and stuff like that. And I kind of agreed with all of what they were doing, having to prep the food for the wrestlers backstage and all that. I get it. It was part of the commitment. The thing that bugged me the most, and Mace and I both said it, where's the $25 nights in motel room with only HBO, 4 cots, 1 bed, and 8 people?
Well, they did this before. This is the Tough Enough thing. And I believe it was Billy Gunn and Road Dogg that had issue with it, that they said, I believe it was on a shoot interview, maybe RF for one of those companies, that they said, you know, you guys getting pampered in this and that. They were put up season 1, 2, and 3. They were put up in amazing houses. I thought that was the house from season 3 of Tough Enough. I could be wrong. Jersey Girl was asking, was that Alicia's sister who was eliminated? No. Christine is, I believe she said her name is Christina Crawford on Monday Night Raw. That is Alicia Fox, Victoria Crawford's sister. Here's where it gets screwed up. She was under developmental. She was under a developmental deal by the WWE. They released her and magically she gets cast on Tough Enough.
I really don't have an issue with that.
I kind of do, because you're already under developmental. Why release her just to bring her right back into the fold?
I don't know.
Releasing someone and signing them into a 10-day deal if you're in the NBA.
All right. What pissed me off the most about that is you could tell there were individuals there last night who had never, ever, ever, ever stepped in a ring a day in their life. Never trained, never wrestled a show, never did any of that. And here they are being given an opportunity literally worth their weight in gold last night.
Wouldn't happen to be talking about the tiara lady, would you?
No, you know what? I'm not going to bitch about Rima. I'm not. You know why? Because she gets it, at least. You know, she gets it. She understands. And people, I've heard people bitch all day about, oh my God, I can't believe she padded. Mace is even saying something about it in the chat last night. And there was once or twice that I padded. Once or twice that I padded my hip. And I got crowbarred to hell for it, but I did it. Because, I mean, if you saw that Michael guy's arm and underarm, you know, your hip begins to look like that after about 10 minutes.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, I've seen it firsthand. I can tell you stories of seeing the Bellas in their initial training, just like Rimka doing the rope. So Rima, oh, I think it's Rima is the way you pronounce her name. I apologize to Miss USA if you're listening. Because trust me, we're going to talk about people listening to the show. People in Connecticut listen here and we'll explain later why. I mean, I get why she's there because as the boy, the guy, I think his name's Michael and with a weird spelling of the name and said, you're here because you are Miss USA. If she wasn't Miss USA, would they have picked her? Yes, because of the looks? Because it all depends. At one point, go ahead.
If they picked that Ariane chick because of her looks, I think Rima looks 10 times better than she does, first and foremost. Second of all, at least Rima has an understanding and knowledge of the business. I'm pretty sure Alicia Fox versus Melina isn't her favorite match.
Yeah, who knows? We'll probably find out.
I can't adequately rip this apart without Jamal.
Yeah, if Kevin wants to join us, he can call in. It's 267-297-1397. If anybody wants to call in, we open call lines to anyone and everyone. But I mean, it was just interesting to see, like I said, M-Dog, I've met M-Dog 20, Matt
He's
Cross, whatever
Cleveland.
You want to call him. I'm sorry?
He's from Cleveland.
Yeah, he's been multiple champion in promotions all over the place.
He's a super nice guy too.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I love how they talk to him for like all of 10 seconds and he's like, oh, it's running the ropes, you know, it's a little tough. I'll get used to it or I'll get over it or something. And then like they didn't talk to him the rest of the show.
Pretty much. Sorokin wanted to point this out, and I remember reading this, I think it was on the USA Network site, actually, but WWE.com's Tough Enough page is also doing it. Jeremiah Riggs, who I believe is the kid who lost his tooth or his denture plate doing the ropes, they're listing him as he is trying to become the first legitimate MMA fighter to cross into WWE. I'm just going to leave that there, because, wow.
Wait.
Take a moment, breathe. I'll reread it for you. WWE.com's Tough Enough page is listing Jeremiah Riggs as trying to become the first legitimate MMA fighter to cross over into World Wrestling Entertainment.
That's funny.
Wow.
Holy mother of God.
Apparently
we can name at least two guys in WWE terms who might have a problem with that, and a third one who is in WCW.
I'm going to say right now, you know, just to be on just a little bit. I'm pretty sure that both Ken Shamrock and Dan Severn would have something to say about that.
Oh, big time. I mean, the man held what, the Intercontinental Championship a couple times, European Championship. I believe he was he a tag team champion at one point when he was in the corporate
Shamrock
industry?
Or Severn?
Shamrock.
Shamrock, yeah. Severn didn't hold any belts. Severn was just there for a cup of tea.
He was the NWA World Heavyweight Champion at one point.
Yeah, but I'm talking in WWE.
Yeah, he was in, he was out. He wasn't really there that long.
He was more there for a cup of tea. But like, the WWE, like their fun facts that they have during Raw and these little marketing quips make me chuckle because it's obviously written by people who have no fucking clue. Sorry, Alan.
They're probably written by people that they've been writing on SpongeBob SquarePants or somewhere, and that's how they got hired. We may need Dave Lagana back at some point.
Please.
Don't forget
offer him ice cream. He'll come back.
Yeah, his blog and podcast is iwantwrestling.com. Believe me, we'll talk all about that in a little while, because if you watched WrestleMania 27, you were sitting there going, huh? Kevin said in our chat, actually, I didn't watch. Jersey Girl said that if he was the girl who was eliminated, I would have said every match you were in, Mr. Austin, would have been a nice recovery considering what she did. But
you realize that if you said that to Austin, he would have looked at her and gone, yeah, what? Freaking right. Whatever you reckon, get the hell out of my ring.
I was kind of waiting for him to say that last night, man. I mean, I went to bed and my wife's like, oh, I watched Tough Enough. I was like, yeah, I watched it downstairs too. She's like, the perfect person for that is Austin. And I was like, duh. I'm like, you could tell that, I mean, at the beginning, that comment that Michael guy made, you know, May said something to the effect of scripted drama is scripted. But the moment Austin started talking to these kids, that was 100% pure and unadulterated. Like, that wasn't censored. That wasn't written for him. You know, that's somebody who legitimately loves this business and has been extremely successful in it and is trying to protect it from people like Arion.
And you could tell in the way he delivered when he had the final, those three in the ring, the big buckwheat or whatever they call him, Afro, whatever.
Eric, whatever his name is, yeah.
Yeah, when Austin.
Oh, it's hysterical, that's his name.
When the guy, you know, couldn't give an answer to Austin's question, Austin's pulled him, put him in his spot, and then Austin took the buckwheat spot. And he said, now ask me the same question, and delivered a perfect answer for that. It shows that Austin, as he said to the guy, you've got potential. So Austin's trying to nurture this guy. And I even said that to Spug, you know, this is Austin teaching this guy a lesson, trying to get him fired up.
Yeah, but, and this
yeah,
is
that,
a guy.
That thing that got kicked out, good bloody riddance.
Yeah, I almost feel like Taz and Tough Enough 1 where he was sitting there going, alright, we got rid of the crap, now let's get to the real thing. I was thinking at one point they were just going to jump the gun and go, alright, the three of you, hit the bricks. We don't need 14, 11 works better. It would have made for holy crap TV of going like, they're not fooling around here, man. I thought it was funny Trish Stratus had brought up the girl who was eliminated, Ariane. I believe she's also the one whose pants kept falling down during the 3 minutes of
hell. Double stick tape.
Yeah, or at least something a little more suitable for what you were doing. Of course, Trish shows up to do Raw in boots and does a wrestling move and not doing it. But hey, who's perfect?
The thing with Trish though, like, the thing with what Trish said, and you listen to that Arion chick talk, she has no clue. No clue. She's sitting there talking about being divalicious, and I'm sitting there going, I'm just sitting there rubbing my temples, because if you would have mentioned to this chick, Fabulous Moolah, Mae Young, Wendy Richter, Alundra Blaze, Bertha Faye, any of them, she wouldn't have had an idea of a single one of those. Not one.
Yeah, but I think that's what happened was, to go back to the casting as before we wrap up to go to the next hour, that the show was cast with people like Austin Aries, like Matt Cross, or people that I know of, like Danny Only and Aaron Epic and Annie Social, some indie stars that I know of that went to the reality casting site and put in their stuff. I think they also went for that. They went and did a mix of people like MDog20 who can go in there and can be a mechanic and also put in Miss USA because you're also casting a quote unquote reality show. But I think if it stays the way it is with Austin being there every training session and three kill. I'm so happy with Bill DeMott, Booker T, and Trish Stratus since DeMott helped out and was a part of Tough Enough 3. So I'm hoping, they teased that like John Cena is going to be there. The Rock's going to be there. I want John Morrison to show up. So he can stand there and go, I was exactly in the same spot all of you were.
The better
just
one,
like the Miz did.
The better one to show up is the Miz.
Well, he already did it last week on Monday Night. He already did it on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, but the show is already done. That's the thing.
Yeah. that's the other thing. It was weird last night to see all these kids in the ring, and I'm going, wait a minute.
It's over. I mean, the show's already over. It's already taped. The ending's sitting there in Connecticut waiting to air. You know, I mean, it's over. The thing, the Miz is the perfect one to show up at some point, because the Miz placed second on the Tough Enough $1 Million Challenge. And where is Daniel Puter, and where is the Miz?
Yeah.
You know who I'd like to see return? Let's bring Maven back.
Maven.
Oh, God, or bring Maven or Nydia or Chisel. Yeah,
I mean, if you look at it, like, some of the... And I kind of wish that the show wasn't necessarily live, but was only, like, say, a week behind. You know what I mean? Because I would like to see guys like George the Animal Steel and Sergeant Slaughter and Arn Anderson and some of the real old guys in the business, the guys that were on the road 320 to plus days a year, sleeping in a room with four cots, one bed, and eight people.
Arn Anderson was doing that? But before he joined the Horsemen, he probably was.
Yeah, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I understand it. And Austin, as I wrap up, I want to bring this up because Chris Champion, a name I've mentioned on the show before, he, and along with Dutch Mantel, when Austin first broke in, if you watch the Stone Cold Truth DVD, I believe it's called, if you read Austin's bio, he talks about when he left World Class after being trained by Chris Adams, the late gentleman Chris Adams, he would every week get his check, eat a little bit, and then he would get a bag of raw potatoes, buy some razors so he could shave his face, and the dude would eat raw potatoes. And Dutch Mantel and Chris Champion were his drivers sometimes when he couldn't go to certain parts of that territory, which involved going to Nashville, which involved Evansville, and I believe Bowling Green, Paducah, Kentucky, some of these great places. So Austin's the perfect person to be there. Coming up after the break, we will talk everything about WWE Hall of Fame 2011. We'll talk WrestleMania. We'll have some folks that were in attendance at WrestleMania, us who watched it at home, and we'll talk all about next year's WrestleMania, which I can't believe was already being booked. All in World of Wrestling Radio, we'll be back. Don't forget, you can find us on the Click Wrestle site for archive. We're also archived on iTunes and Wild Talk Radio Network. Temp, mace, you know ain't nothing changed but my limp. Can't stop, try, see my name on a blimp. Guarantee me yourself for the love of luck. You don't believe in Harlem World, nigga, double up. We don't play around, it's a bet, lay it down. Niggas didn't know me, 91, bet they know me now. I'm the young Harlem nigga with the goldie sound. Can't no kid. You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Hello, Fia Gastron, may I help you?
Oh, yes, I'd like to make some order, please.
What would you like?
Vegetable fried rice.
Huh?
Vegetable fried rice.
Only vegetable.
Vegetable
Hello?
Fried rice. Hello?
Yes.
Yes, vegetable
no
fried
meat.
Rice.
And do you, egg is okay? No egg.
Egg okay. Egg okay.
Okay.
No bok choy?
Oh, we don't have bok choy.
No bok choy? Okay.
Yeah.
Snow peas? You have snow peas?
Yeah, we have snow peas.
Extra snow peas.
What do you mean? You mean the fried rice?
Yes, fried rice.
Oh, fried rice, we don't have snow peas.
No snow pea?
Yeah.
The chicken? You put chicken in there?
Yeah, we have chicken fried rice.
But
you want chicken fried rice?
No, I want the vegetable fried rice with the chicken.
Oh, that means the chicken fried rice, yeah?
No, vegetable fried rice with the chicken.
Hello, we have seafood fried rice, beef fried rice, chicken fried rice. Or if you don't want meat, we can make a vegetable fried rice for you. So you want chicken or no chicken?
No, I want the vegetables and the chicken. Can you do both?
We have like a fried rice, we have green peas inside. Not too much vegetables.
Never mind. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time. on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Are you looking for a place to hang out with fellow pro wrestling fans? Then look no farther than the official forum of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com, OWW Genesis. It's the gold standard in wrestling forums. OWW Genesis is the home of over 50, that's right, 50 unique forums that range from current day wrestling news and results in WWE, TNA, ROH, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, tons of indie promotions. As well, there are forums for you to discuss everything from pro wrestling past, including WCCW, WCW, ECW, and the golden age of pro wrestling. You want more? Wow. Then check out OWW Undisputed. It's the official debate league. Or even check out OWW Takedown, which is the official e-fed of OWW Genesis. You still want more? Damn, you're a picky person. OWW Genesis is also the official forum for Chick Fight and Online World of Wrestling Radio. You want more? God, you are a super cool wrestling fan. Then just head over to the gold standard of wrestling forums, OWW Genesis, right now at OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com.
Hey, this is World War Animal. If you want the best and the most informative wrestling news, you listen for the Wojak, the Spud, and the Mangiazzi. This is World War Animal, and I listen. Oh, what a rush.
Welcome back to Online World of Wrestling Radio, we're at the Wild Talk Radio Network. My executive producer is up. You want to say hi? Say hi.
Hello.
Yeah, speaking here, Abby. Yes, everyone, this is my two-year-old. This is Abby. Say hi. Say hi, Mike.
Hi.
Yeah, Mike's on. Mike Liguori is joining us, my friend Mike, and his significant other, Liz. Went to WrestleMania. That's why they're joining us. Jersey Girl will be joining us possibly in a couple minutes as well, because she went to WrestleMania. Phil Strum's here. Yeah, she apparently bought a lot of people's stuff. I thought she was kidding around when I saw it on my Facebook.
She's buying me anything. God damn it.
Yeah. All of a sudden, she's like, what size do you wear? And I'm figuring, okay, it's an April Fool's joke. I go, I wear extra large. You didn't get me a shirt, did you? Next thing I know, it's like, yeah, I got your shirt. I got something for your daughter. So I'm like, what?
Yeah, she grabbed me a shirt. So thanks again to Jersey Girl for that. I appreciate it.
Yep, she'll be joining us in a moment or two. She needs to get herself organized. Phil Strum is here from the Poughkeepsie Journal. As you heard from our brand new introduction, Kevin K. Scott, better known to fans of the show as Jamal, is joining us. Before we get into actual WrestleMania, I know Mike unfortunately did not get to go to Hall of Fame, but did you happen to see any of last night's very abbreviated Hall of Fame?
No, just the last maybe 5 or 10 minutes, that Sean Waltman and Kevin Nash walked out, and I still have yet to watch the rest of it. I gotta do that later.
Yeah. To Jamal, I apparently have to call you Jamal since now you're a guest and a regular on the show. Did you happen to catch any of this, and were you sitting there like me going, you know, when they did it right after the event, this was a lot more fun as opposed to 48 hours after?
Yeah, I quickly caught maybe about 20 minutes worth this morning, because I was really crazy busy last night, missed all the fun on USA Network. But from the highlights, I guess it was a cool event. I really didn't feel anything... watching was a little ambivalent.
Yeah, my problem with this thing, Phil, was it just seemed like, all right, here are the Road Warriors. Here's a video thing. And I'm like, okay, Animal talks. And as someone who interviewed animals, Spug and Mason, we're really happy about it. And don't mind, Abby is back. Abby is hopefully not going to destroy the Online World of Wrestling Radio studio.
Better known as your kitchen.
Yeah, thank you. But hold on. What? What do you want to say? Hi. Say hi. Say hi, everybody. Okay, you're like
Abby,
2 hours past your
Abby,
bed.
Look at your dad. Look at your dad and tell him you can't see me.
She can't hear you. She's too busy trying to. She's too busy hurtling the cord. But as I was saying,
she
Phil,
can't
it just
hear
seemed
you.
Like yeah, yeah, pretty
Phil.
Much.
Bravo.
Thank you, Phil. But I mean, it's the thing that irked me with this thing, Phil, is like I said, it was like here's a package: Road Warrior Animal and Paul Ellering come out with a neat little action figure of Hawk, which I thought was a nice little touch. Yeah, I know Sir Rockin' saying it's called buy the DVD, but I mean, seriously, it was like, why Drew Carey could have put Sonny out there, but granted, having Sonny and Shawn Michaels in the same building is dangerous enough as it is.
Yeah. I don't have a problem with the way that they present the Hall of Fame every year in the 1 hour special. It's always just kind of a tease of, you know, what the full show is that you can get when you get the DVD. And honestly, I've purchased that DVD the last several years. It's always really, really good. And you know, it bothers me that they can't get a longer time slot to show it, maybe live or even on tape, but that's just the way the television industry works. The 1 hour is what they get. So they got to give you, I mean, I don't blame them for putting Drew Carey on, especially if they're going to pay him to be part of the show. I mean, he's a name and they might as well. And honestly, the other two that are the biggest ones out of that show are clearly Shawn Michaels and the Road Warriors. So, that DVD, I can't recommend it enough. It's always, and from what I've read of people who are actually there, it sounded like it was a very good ceremony. I'm really looking forward to seeing Abdullah the Butcher, the other Abby, on his ceremony too. But
who apparently ran out of barbecue ribs. John Bulis and some of the folks from ASW made a road trip up, and they said, we got lost in Atlanta when we finally showed up at Abby's barbecue and Korean joint. They ran out of ribs. That's like going to Baskin Robbins and them going, we ain't got no ice cream. I was like, huh?
Sounds like he probably did some good business then this weekend.
Oh, I'm sure the eateries were packed like crazy.
I'm wondering if Abby broke kayfabe, though, because every time I've seen Abby or talked to, like, gone to a show where Abby was at, Abby wouldn't speak in English, or he wouldn't speak at all. So I'm wondering.
He does now. He did. He spoke.
Oh, did he?
Oh, yeah. He did a full speech. They showed a little tiny clip of it on the show last night, but most interviews he's done in the last, like, 5 or 6 years, too, he totally, you know, speaks. He did a thing on the Fight Network, which I think is over in the U.K., and I don't know where else it airs. They did, like, a whole three-piece. They did a whole three-piece, three-part special on his life a couple of years ago, and he was the one that they primarily interviewed for it, so.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with the way it was done, but I mean, in the same light, I'm also sitting there going, could you have edited this thing any smaller than you did? Is that Drew Carey being there, waste of my time, but as was said already by other folks in the past couple weeks when we were hyping this up, it's the celebrity wing, emphasis on celebrity, but I loved how he was called TV legend. Senator going, okay, Milton Berle, that's a TV legend. Johnny Carson, that's a TV legend. Bill Cosby, Diana Carroll, if you're a fan of the White Collar show and you know that's what I'm talking about, that's a TV legend. Drew Carey? Okie dokie then. Believe it or not, we actually had a winner in our grouping of last week. Phil Strum joined, Scott Fishman joined, Graham Cawthon joined, Scott and Graham were at WrestleMania, but unfortunately due to them traveling today, I believe Graham is actually at the SmackDown taping, which I believe is in Charlotte, so he couldn't call in. Sarah and Ari Daigan were involved, Kevin Scott was involved, Spug and I were involved. The winner, believe it or not, was a tie in the WrestleMania picks. Now, remember, we lost Sheamus and Daniel Bryan. Damn you, time constraint bull crap. So the winners in a tie of getting 6 matches right out of the 8 on the show were Scott Fishman and our own Jersey Girl. So Jersey will be getting some DVDs from Kayfabe Commentaries, and hopefully she enjoys those. Since Mike,
it right.
You got four, so did I.
Tell me, Ellen, in that kayfabe one, are you sending her the Al Snow guest book a DVD?
No, I just got it, so she can't get it yet.
I can tell you, just to sidetrack for 1 second, I'll tell you one thing about that release. Eye strain. Whatever light they put in the background, it hurts your eyes something shocking after a while. I had to turn it off.
Sunglasses, we'll probably all need them. Or it's the autofocus. We may have...
Review coming soon.
Yeah, we may have Sean Oliver next week. We're trying to negotiate it out with him and possibly having the mysterious and never-seen Anthony. He may or may not be with us next week. So back to the pooling. Spug, myself, Kevin, Ari, and Sarah all got four. Graham and Phil got five. And Jersey and Scott got six. Now, as I said, Mike was in attendance, so I want to pitch this to him first, and then when we possibly get a moment, we'll get Jersey's input there. Your initial reaction as a fan sitting there, because none of us saw it because it wasn't a part of the show, when you were told your dark match for the evening is the U.S. heavyweight champion Sheamus versus Daniel Bryan in a lumberjack match. What was the reaction of you and people sitting around you?
A lot of them are a little bit on the pissed off side because we're like, really? A title match for your dark match? I mean, we always know that the Battle Royal is the one that opens, you know, does the dark match and whatnot. And then once they had most of the roster down for Lumberjacks, I was like, okay, now it's even weirder. And then halfway through it, Teddy Long goes, all right, players, let's make it a battle royal. I'm like, oh, cool, let's kill a title match for no reason. Of a match between two great workers. And, yeah, let's just not have it air. It's great.
Yeah, I mean, because as I said, we're sitting there, we're all in our pre-chat mode with Mace and Spug. Well, Spug wasn't there. Sorry. Will was there. Very surprising to have a chat with Will, Omega, Tim Stein, Ciroc, and we're all sitting there. And all of a sudden, Rock texts me. He's like, that match you wanted to see? Yeah, you're not going to see it. What? So I'm confused on this whole time constraint thing, guys.
Yeah, four-hour time constraint.
Yeah, for eight matches.
It's called making the room for The Rock's 20-minute promos.
Oh, yeah, and we'll get to that in a second or two. As noted, yes, the great one himself opened. If you were wondering who the voiceover was, I believe that was Alan Coulter of David Letterman fame. He's the normal announcer for Letterman's program. So I'm very confused why we had The Rock come out and talk and then do a opening. I don't understand the production issue here, but I mean, it's just I just need a second to breathe here because that's still pissing me off all these days later that you open your pay-per-view like that. You opened it like you, I mean, I don't know if Spug or Mace can agree with me here, but it opened it almost like he was, you know, our next guest on the David Letterman show or the Tonight Show is The Rock. That's almost how it felt. And that's kind of annoying. I mean, and unfortunately, and Kevin, you know, as big as the man crush that Spug has on Triple H, we know you have a man crush for The Rock. But were you okay with this kind of an opening of The Rock coming out and, well, talking?
No, not at all. And quite frankly, as huge as my crush is on the man, very disappointed. And I think he came off very underwhelming throughout most of the, I guess, his part of the whole extravaganza. Very long to begin with. It really felt like it was a 4-hour version of Raw. That's what everything came down to. And I think a lot of it was just the production issues, very bizarre booking, very strange backstage sketches. I don't know where they were going for.
Yeah. Back to Mike.
Wait, there were backstage sketches?
Yeah, yeah. The one with Mae Young.
Hi, sorry, in live attendance.
Yeah, that's the weird thing. I was about to ask you that. How much, so when they went to all the backstage stuff, you saw in the Georgia Dome none of that?
I saw none of that, no. I had no idea. I watched all the stagehands, you know, prep the stage, sweep, you know, sweep up glass, put out the star carpet, wheel back Del Rio's car, all that stuff, and nothing as far as sketch.
Yeah, well, to Mike, and then I'll steer it around the room. Your opening match of all matches is your World Heavyweight Champion Edge taking on Alberto Del Rio. Because we were talking through the show through text, Mike. Mm-hmm. Initial reaction by you and your section when you're like, that's Rodriguez. Okay, is Brodus wrestling and I missed it? And instead out comes Alberto Del Rio.
I was wondering, when I saw, you know, everyone prepping in the ring, you know, again, I saw stagehands doing a lot of stuff. They put this big, heavy-duty ramp, you know, on the up ramp. You know, I was, like, sitting there wondering, and then when I looked over towards the ring and saw Rodriguez, I was like, you've got to be kidding me. You're opening the show with the world title? What a slap in the face. I would have been pissed if I was Edge, you know? Wow, I gotta play second fiddle to Snooki. You know?
Yeah, or Team Snooki as we referred to her here, Phil. So eloquently it was known as Team Snooki. We're possibly making T-shirts, but if you believe what she said on TMZ.com, she's done.
Oh.
I mean, before we'll go around real quick, because I said Mace watched it with us through legal means. We watched it legally. The Phil first, who'd you watch? Where'd you watch with? And your thoughts on the opener of the World Championship?
I watched the show in Manhattan with 8 other people, actually. So that was a nice, little split in terms of the, $54.95, I think it was, price tag. But, I don't know what else would open that show. I mean, I thought Daniel Bryan and Sheamus was a perfect opener because Daniel Bryan is about the best person they have on the roster to open a show. Because just that's just his style. He's got the kind of style that kind of wakes you up if you're watching him. But, I thought that was probably the next best pick because I wouldn't have wanted to start the show with any of the other matches that actually happened. The core match was about a minute and a half. The Snooki match was perfect where it was because it was a buffer between two very dramatic, serious matches. So it made sense to put something light in between those. I don't know what else would have. Rhodes and Mysterio, I thought Del Rio and Edge was a really, really good match, and I think by the end of the show, most people kind of forgot about it, but especially the last 3 or 4 minutes of that match, I thought were really, really good, with the reversals and the submission attempts and the near falls and stuff like that. I thought it was a really nicely done match. You know, it stinks that the world title had to go on first, but, I thought it still, you know, they made a very good accounting for themselves.
To Kevin, where did you watch it with, and thoughts on the opener?
I watched it at home with my ex-fiance for free. Awesome. Thank God for the internet. First, my thoughts, it was, definitely bizarre to see, that's how the show started. I kind of agree with Phil saying in terms of, I don't know what I would have put out there first, because quite frankly, I wasn't really impressed with most of the show. I thought it was a quality match. I am a huge fan of Edge. Del Rio, I'm becoming a huge fan, but it seems that, I don't know if they got scared after the Royal Rumble and maybe the initial response, towards Del Rio from the fans, you know, just complaining about, oh, he's not ready. I have no idea, you know, what happened to his whole push, because going back to, Rumble till now, I didn't see it last night, unfortunately. It seems like they kind of lost faith in him, at least from my vantage point. And I have to ask, what was the post-match thing all about?
in terms of destroying the car. I have absolutely no idea what that purpose was.
Well, I guess I could pose that to Spug or Mace. I mean, neither one of you have been high or low on Del Rio, but I mean, was this just like, okay, you got your mania shot, let's trash your car because your push is dead?
Hey, he's facing Edge again at Extreme Rules in a ladder match.
Yep, that just in from fans that were at the taping in Charlotte. That is one of your main events for Extreme Rules here in Tampa, Florida, St. Pete Times Forum, May 1st. So, good match, bad match, or meh to Mace?
Good match. Don't know why they put on first. You know, I sort of figured it demeans your world title a bit to have it open your biggest show of the year. And considering that you had a Snooki Mania match, which ended up being your semi-main that could have gone on first just to get that over and done with, or you had your 8-man tag that lasted less than 2 minutes. You know, it doesn't make sense to me. I was literally looking around for Vince Russo.
Well, he could have been there, believe you. I think he lives in Nashville now, or Colorado, depending. I think he's in hiding with witness protection right now from fear of people like you, me, and Kevin who are going, that's our product, and you killed it. Damn you, man. I need to stay focused. I need to stay focused on the prize. The prize is WrestleMania. Your second match of the evening was, as already referenced to, and that would be Cody Rhodes taking on Rey Mysterio. A surprise for me was no involvement by the American Dream Dusty Rhodes, since he had been teased the last few weeks as getting involved with the Phantom of the Opera or the Kato mask that's not painted black. I mean, maybe he's the answer to Okada and TNA. I don't know. Believe it or not, we actually had everybody but Jersey, Spug, and myself. We got it wrong. They all took Cody Rhodes, so yay to them. I admit I took Ray Ray because, well, he's Ray Ray. Ray Ray never loses because the little kids will cry. All the kids with the masks will be crying. And instead, we had to not speed it up but to slow it down at the same time, if that makes no sense, that's fine. Care. It's a fun show. I'm trying to make it fun, but the phone lines are jammed with people, and I apologize for that. To Spug, we kind of addressed this feud before, and we talked about it last Tuesday that Cody's character needed this win. Are you fine with the way this match went, or did you think maybe bad pacing, good pace? What were your overall thoughts?
It was a good match. It worked well. The one thing I said it on WTR on the post show after Mania, the one thing I would have done was had Rhodes probably start to get a little bit arrogant again. I really would have had Rhodes, after he beat Ray, you know, try to beat up or had Cody Rhodes try to beat up on Ray, you know, try to demask him or something and further the feud. Because I think we all know that Ray is retiring within the next year to 18 months. That's one of the big things going around. So I think the inevitable end to this feud is probably a mask versus mask match. You know, a little bit tongue in cheek because, well, we can see right through Cody's mask, but still.
Yeah, which brings it up to a point I want to ask Mace about and everyone else. I'm watching it on a computer. I was not able to watch SmackDown the last couple of weeks due to working for ASW. Should they have made Cody look a little more messed up underneath that thing, put some, you know, black eyes or marks under there to make him look effed up, as opposed to, well, I'm just wearing this protective mask like I'm an NBA player and I broke my nose?
You mean like the amazing job they did on Kane when he lost his mask finally and had the big black crap around his eyes and then it became psychological?
He looked like a raccoon when they first unmasked him and was like, what the heck happened there?
Yeah, I reckon they could go the same route they did Kane. The scars are psychological.
Yeah, but give them a girl and then they'll heal. To Mike, since you said you were there and you also were battling morons in front and behind you crowd-wise, thoughts on the match? And would you like to see Ray and Cody at Extreme Rules with the idea that they said a mass mask or a weapon of some kind to mess up Ray Ray's face?
Well, I thought the match was great. Great working from, Cody, you know, on really healing it up by, you know, taking off Ray's knee brace and, you know, using it. You know, that was great. I agree they probably should have done a little bit to his face or that, or given him some kind of, like, what you said, Phantom of the Opera-esque mask. Like, if he had, like, a half mask and, that you couldn't see through, that'd be cool. But as far as Extreme Rules, I don't know. You could really keep it going on SmackDown for all I care.
You know. To Kevin, thoughts on this overall, and would you agree with Cody needed a darker mask as opposed to that little cheap? He almost looked like Richard Hamilton if you're a fan of the Detroit Pistons. He looked like Richard Hamilton with that mask on him, going like, dude, what the heck? You don't even look like there's anything wrong with you.
It was kind of funny because it was almost reminiscent of Tom Cruise's movie Vanilla Sky, where it's like,
oh, yeah,
horribly disfigured, and it's like, all right, you got a little scar. It's really not that bad. But yeah, they should have played it up a little bit more, more convincing, I guess. As far as the match, considering I had absolutely no interest in it, I gave it high praise because I was quite entertained. I thought it was well worked. I did appreciate the outcome. I definitely felt that Rose needed the win. That's pretty much all I have on that. It was a good match. I can't say anything bad about it.
Okay, Phil, you're one of the smart ones in the room. Why Cody, and does he springboard into Intercontinental? I know Wade Barrett is the champion, but you wouldn't know it from watching WrestleMania, but can he springboard past this and move higher up on the SmackDown food chain?
Wrestling Rey Mysterio is pretty high up as it is on the SmackDown side of things. I thought they did a very nice job. I don't really have a problem with the see-through mask just because I see it the same way that a number of other people here do. It's just, I think we're supposed to think that he thinks that he's a lot more messed up than he is because he got kicked in the face. But I thought they did a good job. It was just a match. I mean, it really, it was good. I don't have any complaints about it. Again, it was another one of those matches like the Edge match where kind of maybe like 3.5 hours later, you're like, oh yeah, I kind of like that. That wasn't bad. But, it's such a long show. It's hard to remember everything at the end. You know, it's funny too. Sometimes I've taken actually like taking notes a little bit during shows lately, and I don't take notes at all during WrestleMania because that's just pointless. But, yeah, when I was trying to recall everything yesterday, I was like, oh, gosh, I don't even remember. And I had to go back and look to see what the finish was and everything. So I think that this is it was a good step for Cody, but I really have no clue where they go from here.
Yeah, to wrap up this match for me, remember Talladega Nights, the Ricky Bobby movie? That's almost what Cody Rhodes is like, where he's standing there with the knife over his leg. I can't feel my legs. Don't do it, Ricky Bobby, and all of a sudden, poof. Oh, that hurts. It's like, oh, Cody, dude, seriously, lose the plate. Lose it. Pretty please.
Movie reference, name drop, I'm going to bed.
Once again, welcome to Online World of Wrestling Radio. I am Alan Wojcik, joined by Spug and Mace. They are here from Wrestle Talk Radio, also OTL, which is a Talk and Talk Live. Kevin Scott is joining us. Mike Ligori is joining us. Mike was in attendance at WrestleMania. Phil Strum of Kipsy Journal is joining us. Jersey Girl will do this in a moment.
I got a question for Mike because he was there. And we talked about this on on WTR Sunday night after, on the post show, and I had people tell me, oh, it's the arena, and I watched the True Story of WrestleMania DVD, and I've also seen that arena filled for Atlanta Falcons football games. That arena is designed for the sound to go up and then come back down. There were spots in that show where the crowd just seemed absolutely and 100% dead. Was the crowd as bored with that WrestleMania as we were at home?
During some spots, yeah. Just randomly you get the Cena haters and you'll get the, you know, everyone screaming random crap. But yeah, I definitely, it did get dead in there every once in a while, especially during the downtime, I guess, where all these, little scenes and whatnot, scripted stuff keeps going on. You know, it seemed pretty quiet here and there. You know, the one thing, I mean, I've been to a couple live events, but the one thing that really threw me off, I don't know if it's just to get the crowd pop, but when people are walking in doing their entrances, say, you know, Austin and Rock, they're on the top rope and they do their poses. As soon as the arms go up, the music just blares so freaking loud. And I just never got that. You know, is that just to try to get the crowd pop?
I don't know.
I would assume so. I mean, the thing that, like, one of the things that really bothered me was, like, the Lawler Cole match. You could have heard a nun fart in that place.
I think you did, actually. And there's 71,000 in that building, so you may have had communion going on in one of the sections of that building, and you would never have known it, dude.
Yeah, no, I was actually waiting for a boring chant to start coming out, and as a matter of fact, a boring chant did pop up. I just can't remember where.
I think it was the opening match, wasn't it, guys?
No, it was during the Lawler match.
It was during Lawler.
Yeah, it was. It was.
Yeah, it was during the Lawler match the boring chant started. And I'll start with Jamal because he's been fairly quiet. But
he's playing Jamal. That's why. Jamal's not a loud character.
I'm the token.
He is the token.
Yeah.
But I posted something on Facebook yesterday about a rewriting of history to go back and redo the card. And the Jerry Lawler match, I had Swagger versus Lawler. And if Lawler won, he got 5 minutes with Cole. Would that have been better than having Lawler versus Cole?
It definitely would have been more entertaining. Granted, obviously Lawler would have won that somehow, would have figured out a way. And then obviously the beatdown would have been satisfactory as opposed to the ridiculousness of the GM coming out and reversing the decision.
Yeah, I think it was Omega that said that the match between Lawler and Cole actually lasted longer than last year's match with Bret Hart.
It did.
Physically couldn't even compete in a ring, couldn't take a bump, yet Cole apparently was trained for it. I don't know. We're jumping ahead here. For people like Mike and Jersey who weren't in attendance, you were unfortunately robbed of seeing Snoop Dogg and Teddy Long host WWE Idol with folks like Roddy Piper, and as Omega had said, here's everyone that's getting future endeavored, which we'll talk about in a little while.
I did see that.
You did get to see the Hornswoggle
rapping, and then the Bella Twins, that popped up. You know,
they don't show anything else, figures.
Yeah, that's all. You know, I'm sitting there going, really? An American Idol style crap on here? And then you got Jersey Boy himself, Long Island, whatever, you know, doing that Friday song. I also wanted to punch him.
Hey, we like Zack Ryder. The dude's getting paid to be a
difference. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, speaking of doofuses, the next match on the show was The Core, taking on Big Show Kane Santino. And as Graham Coffin had called last week, he said on the show, I'm surprised Kozlov's in this match, somebody didn't take him out. Well, Graham got his wish. I don't know if Graham physically did it at the Fan Access event. We're trying to get surveillance tapes to prove it. But Kofi Kingston slid into this match, which... definite time filler, so it filled the time that we needed it to fill here, because I don't want anybody to talk about it because it sucked. Unless one of you want to. Anyone? Anyone?
No.
Now that I've finished my Ben Stein impersonation from Ferris Bueller, another movie reference.
Why, so we can have a conversation longer than the actual match?
Aren't you just a bundle of joy?
He didn't do the trombone dance.
So filled with bitterness and sarcasm. You're like Butler fans this morning.
Nah. Let them have their fun. They made it to the finals 2 years in a row. Good for them. But bounced. And the BCS is sitting there going, and the order of balance was restored in the world. Interesting moment number one of the evening was The Rock having a face-off with not only Mae Young, but having one with Stone Cold Steve Austin. You know, great way to tease your DVD release, which is coming in December, Austin versus Rock, The Rivalry. Also available today, D-Generation X, One Last Stand. Why? Because we got to pay Shawn Michaels bill for his appearance at the event. Which leads to our next match of the evening, which was Randy Orton and his knee issue taking on CM Punk and everyone that was not, well, they were all future endeavored back to FCW. See Axel Mulligan on YouTube if you don't believe me. This could have been a sleeper match. A lot of us had it as a sleeper match. Did it live up to your expectations, Spug?
It did. And if you watch Randy Orton, The makings from the aspect of an absolute master of ring psychology, the makings of the next Jake the Snake Roberts is in front of us. Because when you watch him in the ring, you can see him react to things and situations in real time. And you can see the wheels turning in his head as he's trying to figure things out. I mean, we all know that the majority of them call their spots out in the back, but I'm convinced that he changes shit on the fly all the time, because there were spots in that match that just were absolutely phenomenal.
I couldn't agree more with you, Mace. Your thoughts on Punk versus Orton, and would you like, I mean, we saw it on Monday Night Raw, a tag match that saw them there, but could you see this going at least to Extreme Rules and possibly a little further to maybe Capital Punishment in June? Or, Over the Limit is the May pay-per-view, sorry.
Well, I could definitely see it keep going. You know, if anything, last night proved that these guys can work well in the ring. This was the sleeper hit that, unlike Punk's finish, it didn't make me want to go to sleep.
Yes, and was anybody going, I know it wasn't Raw, Monday Night Raw Bingo, but I was going for my Mace-created Raw Michael Cole Raw Bingo card when he actually locked in the Anaconda Vice, and I'm typing to everybody going, is that really the Anaconda Vice, or is this that situation? If you haven't seen Mace's Bingo card, he'll post the link possibly later on during the evening if he can in our chat room to it. Print it, copy it, save it, we'll all do it on Monday Night Raw. But I mean, I was surprised, Phil, when all of a sudden he really locked in the Anaconda Vice. I'm like, he's really going to win this thing with that move. And he didn't. But the knee was actually work. Some psychology was actually used here, Phil. We had a knee injury, a work knee injury. But, you know, it played really well for the audience.
Yeah, I thought it was a very well-worked match. I thought it was one of the better matches on the show. It was kind of funny that was the only one the next day that kind of ended up getting bashed on Twitter a little bit by someone who was Kurt Angle or not Kurt Angle, because it was just a really good match. And, like, people need to realize that when moves get used in wrestling matches, it's not because it's a slap in the face of the I know you guys talked about it a little bit in the previous hour, but it's not because, you know, it's a, you know, stealing things from people. It's more in terms of, well, if it worked before, it'll probably work in the next, you know, cycle of wrestling. And those two guys just know how to do it. And you know, I liked the working of Orton's knee for the whole match, and I really enjoyed the diamond cutter out of nowhere, the RKO, as you know, with DDP in attendance there too. But I'm sure he probably would have enjoyed it too. But it was just a very good match, you know, and it made sense in terms of, you know, Orton, the angle leading up to WrestleMania was that he really hated CM Punk and he wanted to kick him in the head. He tried to. He couldn't. So he just beat him instead.
Yeah, I mean, to Kevin, you're big on the Twitter thing like we are all, and he's Kevin_K_Scott if you're at home keeping score here. Almost telling these guys you can't do the ankle lock is like saying, I'm Hulk Hogan, brother. The leg drop is mine, and nobody, but nobody can do it. Or it's Roddy Piper going, I can't do the sleeper. Nobody could do it. I mean, if everybody did that, they'd be sitting with Kevin somewhere going, so what am I supposed to do in this match? Use harsh language?
Yeah, it's, I'm almost willing to give him the benefit of the doubt and go with the whole story about the relative did it, whatever. It's really silly. It looks, it's embarrassing for him, obviously. I really don't know how much to go on about Kurt Angle because we know he has some issues. For the match itself, though, once again, it was a good, not great match. I did like a lot of spots. The out of nowhere RKO, it's been done a couple of times already. It's, might want to try to figure out something else you can do that would be you know, kind of like, oh, incredible move. I think Randy is a great talent, and quite frankly, I had wished that it was Cena Orton was the main event going back to about maybe half a year ago instead of the SummerSlam event. But yeah, that's pretty much my thought on that match. It was entertaining. Didn't really remember it later in the night.
Yeah. Before we let Mike go, because we want to get Jersey Girl in here because she was also at the event. Mike, your thoughts on Punk, Orton, and would you like to see Randy Orton's TV wife possibly involved some more, since if you watch the Hall of Fame, you'll see Randy Orton's real-life wife sitting there, and she's nice on the eyes, as they say.
Oh, yeah, she is nice on the eyes. And bravo about the Jake the Snake reference. Very nice. Yeah. Psychology all there. Great. I thought it was a great match between the two. They work phenomenal together. You know, and, you know, I actually like the out of nowhere RKOs, especially when it's the most random ways of pulling the move off, too.
It almost feels like I think the reference came up of the diamond cutter back in the WCW days. So just like anywhere and anywhere he can hit it. I mean, the best RKO I still think is the one he got on Evan Bourne from the top rope.
Absolutely. No, and remember I was telling you that the head of the jackasses behind me, they had to make every reference to every old wrestler possible. As soon as Punk threw Orton up to try to, for the go to sleep, guy behind me had to scream out F5. And as soon as the RKO got hit, same guy behind me had to go bang.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. It is.
Yeah. They always sit behind me too.
Yeah, they're traveling just to find you. They're the same people that sit next to me at indie shows, probably. We're gonna let Mike disappear. We're gonna have him tag out and bring in Jersey Girl. We're gonna take a quick commercial break on Online World of Wrestling Radio. We'll come back and we will talk about the remaining four matches on this show, which saw The Undertaker carted off like an NFL player. The Miz, as he claimed on Monday Night Raw, getting a concussion. And the WrestleFest, that was Michael Cole versus Jerry Lawler. And Snooki channeling the great Muda on the Notorious B.I.G. night here on All in World of Wrestling Radio. We'll be back.
all good, baby, baby. It was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine. Salt and Pepper and Heavy D up in the limousine. Hanging pictures on my wall. Every Saturday, Rap Attack, Mr. Magic, Molly Mall. I let my tape rock till my tape pop. Smoking weed and bamboo, sipping on private stock. Way back when I had the red and black lumberjack with the hat to match. Remember rapping Duke? Da ha, you never thought that hip hop would take it this far. Now I'm in the limelight cause I rhyme tight. Time to get paid, blow up like the World Trade. Born sinner.
Do you have a certain passion? Maybe you're a geek, a wrestling fan, a sex enthusiast, or you just need something to do for the evening. Then come check out the Wild Talk Radio Network, providing you with the latest in online entertainment. Whether it's getting in the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio, or getting a little R-rated with CB Radio or Anything Goes, or whether you just want to play a game of Dungeons & Dragons with the geeks over to Talk We Talk Live, all you gotta do is head on over to www.wildtalkradio.com and check out all of our daily programming. Wild Talk Radio Network. Come and get wild with us.
Here's a quick message going to all the geeks out there. If you want to listen to three guys talk your language, tune in to Otaku Talk Live, Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. What? You expect me to be funny? We do that on the show! So tune in! Listen! I demand it.
There are plenty of wrestling radio shows that consider themselves to be award-winning. Yet they are full of flaws. While Wrestle Talk Radio continues to bring you the best wrestling talk on the internet today, with no production flaws. Tune in Sunday nights for Wrestle Talk Radio, the best value in wrestling radio. We're just saying.
OWW Radio.
She had me going crazy.
Alan Wojcik.
She woke me up daily.
OWW Radio.
Welcome back to All I Will of Wrestling Radio, but for the Wild Talk Radio Network. The home site is alliwillofwrestling.com. The email address is always is radio@alliwillofwrestling.com. Thanks to people like Shane Cox, who wrote in, Kentucky Cat, who was here last week, wrote in, talked about the show. One of our
What did our favorite person from Des Moines, Iowa say?
He had said that the show, he was pretty much on par with what we're saying here tonight on All I Will of Wrestling Radio. The number is 267-297-1397. However, it's tied up right now because we thank Michael Gorey for calling in. Jersey Girl will be with us in a second because she was in attendance at WrestleMania as well. Chat room resident WWF Forever says that this came from WWE corporate, that WrestleMania grossed $6.6 million with the 71,617 in attendance at the event.
That's just got to be ticket sales.
Yeah. I'm sure that's just the gate alone. I mean, well, since she was there, welcome Jersey to her girl to our show. What was the face value of the ticket you had, and did anybody tell you if they saw your chorus snore sign?
For what I know, the tickets were pretty much based on what I got in a package, so I don't know really what the core value of them was.
So the ticket itself didn't say how much on it, really?
I honestly can't remember. I want to say it was like 150, but I could be wrong.
That's not bad.
Like I said, I could be wrong. I don't know.
Now, as mentioned, we're now delving into the weird area of this pay-per-view, which, of course, you have that lull in the pay-per-view where we have the Hall of Fame. Everybody comes out. Once again, very awkward seeing Sonny and Shawn Michaels on the stage together. If you don't know what we're talking about, do a little research and you'll learn all about the relationship that Tammy Sitch and Shawn Michaels had. Had. Wasn't a bad choice to have Jim Ross and Booker T join Josh Matthews out in ringside for the match that was Michael Cole versus Jerry the King Lawler, with Jack Swagger in the corner as the coach, the trainer, whatever the heck he was doing, with Stone Cold Steve Austin as the ref. We had Spug bring it up with Mike since he was there, Jersey. How loud a reaction was it when Austin hit the ring?
Oh, everything just popped.
I mean, is it ear-deafening pop for you?
It wasn't really ear-deafening, but, I mean, you know when the music comes on and you... I actually didn't see this part until I watched it on the screen at Raw. I didn't know that he almost ran over Jack Swagger.
Which
made me laugh even more last night when I was all like, oh shit, he almost hit Jack Swagger. Which made me, like I said, made me chuckle.
Yes. Now, since you, we'll say this to everyone, no one on this show got this match right. However, CB Radio's Subway, who is a friend of our show because of a connection through IPW Hardcore and NWA Florida back in the day, if Sorokin is right, am I correct in saying that Subway picked Michael Cole to win this match? Did he really do it? Is he the only one that went to Vegas and chunked down the change and said, give me the guy who I had no idea had all those tats on him? Because I believe it was it Spug or was it Mace or was it Omega that all of a sudden was typing away going, holy crap, look at all the ink on Cole.
We were actually honestly saying the same thing. We're like, damn, he's got tattoos.
Yes, war correspondent.
They're crappy tattoos.
Please, war correspondent, what do you want?
I think actually somebody said that it was like, is that Big Bird on his leg during the match? And I was like, I have to look at him closely. I'm like, yeah, I think it is.
Hey, I have a Cheshire Cat tattoo. There's nothing wrong.
We're not here to judge on tattoos or anything at all. We'll reference you in a second, WWF Forever, but we'll go around the room to Jersey and then we'll make our way around. Your overall thoughts on this match, and were you okay with Cole getting the cheap ass victory?
Oh hell no. No, we were pissed.
Yeah. To Jamal. Mr. Jamal. Sir Jamal. I'm not sure how to refer to you. Can I refer to you as Emperor Jamal? Or, I mean, you're not the Emperor Fabulous, but I mean, it could work there. I mean, the shock value of shock value was the anonymous Raw GM, which for half a second I thought was Cole until I saw Cole sitting on the rampway with Swagger, and I'm going, okay, did they hightail his ass backstage that fast that he could type? And all of a sudden I'm going, wait, Cole's sitting on the ramp. What the hell?
That was just absolutely bizarre. I mean, the whole idea was supposed to be, I don't know, maybe a payoff. It's WrestleMania. We've been sitting through this for months now. I
don't even remember when this actually started. Everyone wanted to see him get his ass kicked, which is great because we did get that, but obviously that was not the end of the story. And I don't really think that many people were going, oh, this must continue. So I was completely pissed with the fact that the reverse decision, but even further, I was hoping that we might actually get a reveal. That would have been, maybe a smart time to actually do it. Because at this point, how much further can you go? There's no actual payoff that could justify what they've been doing.
Now, I mean, we've talked about this on the show for months now, Phil, that this almost seems like a stall tactic to go, okay, who could we possibly put in this role? Well, this person doesn't work here, this person, da 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 da. No, we tired out the guest host thing. I mean, is Kevin right that for God's sakes, just announce it for damn sake, get it over with, and let's get an actual GM here as opposed to the Dell or Apple or IBM or whoever the hell the damn computer is?
I thought for sure at the end of the show, and not to jump ahead, but when The Rock came out, I thought he's about to announce that he's the GM because he walked over to the computer, and I said, oh wow, it's going to be him. And then it wasn't, and it just keeps going, and it keeps going and going. I thought it would be Cole, but, this match was unfortunate just because it just, Michael Cole on offense for any amount of time was just killing the whole match. I mean, because he doesn't know what he's doing, and you feel bad for him in that spot because it's like, this isn't what he does. And I felt bad for Lawler, and then he had to sell what Cole was doing to him because it certainly wouldn't have hurt. You know, especially when he's, like, standing on his tippy toes on the when he's supposedly choking him with the rope. But that was just a match went about, I think it was Spug said earlier, if he would have just done it Swagger versus Lawler, then at least Lawler could wrestle an actual wrestler and give him 5 minutes with Cole. 5 minutes with Cole would have been a lot better than whatever it was, 13 or 14 or whatever it ended up being. But
seemed like forever.
The angle was so good going in for the most part. Michael Cole did a very good job of getting people to hate him a lot. And then, but just, he's not a wrestler, and the payoff wasn't what people wanted to see necessarily.
In our chat room, WWF Forever brings it up saying, okay, I thought the ref's decision is always final, but what the heck was that outcome all about, Mace? To you, I get that the Raw GM can do that, but as we saw in TNA Impact, the referee couldn't do that, but Bischoff and it, to go around in the whole ring of fire there. And just, it almost felt like, you get to hang out with the adult film actress for the whole day, and you go to the movie, and you go back to her hotel room, and you think it's going to happen, and then you put on SpongeBob SquarePants.
That was an analogy that I never want to hear from you again, Alan. Because that almost sounds like you're going from personal experience, brother.
Oh my gosh.
Does
you can tell he watches way too much cartoons.
I got a 2-year-old. I can't help it. The 2-year-old's watching the Jetsons in the other room right now. She's kicking it old school tonight. But I mean, Omega said it the other night. Like I said, the Bret Hart match last year with McMahon didn't go this long. Could you see what Phil and Kevin are saying and the idea of make this Cole, you get Cole if you beat Swagger? Would that have been a better match in your mind? Because this almost felt like me wrestling you. I have no wrestling experience whatsoever. Michael Cole probably has more than me. But still, that's kind of how it felt.
Yeah, I definitely agree that it should have been maybe Lawler versus Swagger with, 5 minutes beating the crap out of Michael Cole as being the reward, because that would have avoided all this crap we got to see on Monday, and definitely would have avoided seeing Michael Cole in his Taz outfit.
Oh, God, that was awful.
Yeah, I'm surprised Taz didn't text out like Kurt Angle going, like, thanks for using my colors, Mike. That's an awesome tribute.
Well,
that's probably because Taz wasn't drinking as much as Kurt Angle was during the evening.
Actually, Taz quoted on there, like, I was on Twitter when this happened during the match, and Taz just actually started laughing. just frantically on Twitter. He's like, I cannot believe this. But I personally thought that Michael Cole looked like a big Oompa Loompa and looked whiter than Sheamus.
I made the reference when he came out in the headgear. I was going like, so that's what Rick Steiner looks like off of all the performance enhancing. So,
I can't
yeah.
believe we made an Oompa Loompa reference and it wasn't to Snooki.
Ooh, we're saving the great Muda herself for a moment or two. Now,
I have something to say about that later.
No, what was funny though, literally, like in my head, when Cole comes out, I'm thinking, Oompa Loompa Doopity Doo. I'm like, that should be his theme song. I'm like, come on, man.
To the match that many thought should have closed the show, but as you see later on, it maybe was a good idea, wasn't a good idea. The Undertaker streak once again has reached 6,200. Oh, wait, no, he's not Goldberg. He's only 19-0. He defeated Triple H for the second time. And for a match that seemed Omega and Will and I were talking a little bit during the show, and I'm suddenly going, oh wait, there's wrestling going on here. Quite possibly, Mace, this turned into the best, and this is, I can't wait about to say this, because the man wrestled Shawn Michaels twice, Ric Flair once, but this possibly was The Undertaker's best match ever. At WrestleMania.
Well, let's not give it that distinction. I'm sorry, but that still belongs to Shawn Michaels. But this was a very good match, definitely better than WrestleMania X7, for those of us who remember that debacle. This was pretty much the match that saved WrestleMania. It was the only one that I actually enjoyed watching and actually remember, because as I noticed when I was watching it later in the evening with a friend, it all comes down to the way the story is told. And with The Undertaker and Triple H, it wasn't so much what they were doing, it was the expressions on their faces. Like when Trips hits the tombstone pile driver on The Undertaker, Taker kicks out, Trips' reaction as he's backing up, you could see that, what the hell do I have to do to get this guy to stay down? You could feel the emotion that was in the ring, and that's how you tell a good story.
Yeah. And for fans, as we referenced Tough Enough earlier, if you can find a copy of the original Tough Enough, when Triple H went to visit the class that had Maven and Josh Matthews, who was the ringside for the majority of this event before he got Stone Cold stunned like Booker T, that was one of the things that Triple H all the way back then referenced to them, is that from the time we go through the curtain to the ring till we come back, we're telling a story, and we're telling a story with our body. And quite possibly, they, as you said, Mace, they saved the show. Sentiment the same way for you, Kevin? Did this match save WrestleMania in your mind, or was it there's no recovery from what you'd already watched to this point?
I don't know if I can say it saved it for me. It was by far the best match of the night. I mean, I don't know if that's really saying a lot. I wouldn't say it was his greatest, Undertaker's greatest, WrestleMania match, but probably his greatest performance. Just in terms of, as we're talking about, the way they sold the story, the aftermath, I actually was not so much concerned with what was going to be the outcome. But I love the story getting to that point. Granted, like for the, definitely for the second, Michaels, match, I didn't enjoy that as much as the first one too, because I was only interested in the final decision. Everything else was just the road getting there. It was kind of, I wish I could fast forward it at points. Sunday, I actually enjoyed sitting back and, just enjoying an actual wrestling match.
Yeah, I want to ask this of Spug, because I think Sir Rockin had mentioned it, or one of you had mentioned it during the production chat for WTR on Sunday. Did you guys have a running bet on what Metallica song he was going to use, Triple H used, and who was anybody close on what he used?
I was correct.
You picked From Whom the Bell Tolls?
Mm-hmm. I had been on a couple of forums during the week, and people were saying, oh, it's going to be For Whom the Bell Tolls. No, it's going to be Disposable Heroes. You know, there was a litany of different songs. And the one And I kind of listened to different people's opinions and formulated my own. The one that fit the situation best and fit listening to the promos and listening to Triple H speak and listening to Undertaker speak, the one that fit that the best was For Whom the Bell Tolls.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. Now, he is your man crush.
Yes.
And you are the one person.
Get it right. He's my husband.
Okay, well, you're the only one who took your husband. We all took Taker. So we all came out ahead on the cards, but let's put it in a different spin here. Was this Triple H's best WrestleMania match ever?
No.
Because we can't talk about the one that happened in MSG because that never happened.
No. Yes, it did happen. People.
Well, okay, yes. According to the history book people, it didn't, but
according to people who were trying to cover their ass within the WWE and not being associated with a double murderer, they're the ones that say it never happened.
Okay, but is this close to his best match? Ever?
No, it's not. I mean, it was good. It told a very compelling story. It really kept you interested from start to finish, especially because it wasn't like Shawn Michaels and Undertaker from WrestleMania's 24 and 25, where it was a real technical style match. This was, 25, 28 minutes of big bumps the entire time? I mean, though, they beat the ever living hell out of each other for almost a half hour. I've never seen anybody take a back body drop from the table to the floor without there being something in the way.
Yeah, I made the reference that it almost looked like an old Ric Flair type bump the way he took it. I'm just going like,
I thought he broke his wrist. Because
he landed on it hard.
Yeah, I thought he broke his wrist.
Yeah, he was holding something when he was walking out, because we were looking at the screen, we were like, what's wrong with Taker? And Triple H was like holding something.
He nearly almost hit the table on the way down, too. Any bump like that when you're going to be turned around with your head facing down while you're airborne like that is very risky. And I was just totally stunned that he took the bump that he did, because it was really, really a very risky bump, and it looked like he paid the price for it afterwards. But that was just one of a series of them in there, as we said.
Well, the thing is I was talking to a couple of friends of mine yesterday, and I said, you know, the thing is they're going to have Taker versus Triple H 3 at WrestleMania 20. At WrestleMania 28, it'll be, you know, Undertaker will probably put Triple H out then, or Triple H will probably put out Taker. Because one of them, after next WrestleMania, one of them's done.
Spug?
Hmm.
Never say put out with Taker and Triple H again.
Hey.
Could I just kind of started chuckling?
You're the one that went into the gutter.
Before we leave this match, we'll start with Mason and I'll call everybody else out. Did you think he was shoot wiped out completely, or do you think it was a work by Taker to be taken out the way he was at the end of the match?
To be honest, I wouldn't have a clue. Because after the match those guys put on, it wouldn't surprise me if he was wiped out, or whether that was one of the best works of all time. It's hard to tell with that guy.
Okay, Jersey, since you were there live, what was your thoughts, and did it seem like forever for them to get that card out there and take him away?
I honestly couldn't really figure out what was going on. I wasn't sure if they went to commercial or was doing backstage stuff at the time. Cause I actually came on after the show and was like, what's wrong with Taker? Cause I honestly thought I saw the trainer, like, take his pulse or something. I honestly thought he died in the ring, and I was like, what the hell is going on? I was like, I just knew something was right. But, like, after the fact that, you know, it was awkward. It was just really weird.
To Spug, since he is your man crush, did you think, like I did, that all of a sudden Taker and Triple H were going to walk out together and have a moment, so to speak?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, and the trainer did check his pulse, and I thought the same thing, too. I thought we'd seen the demise of Mark Calloway legitimately in the middle of the ring. The thing with all of that, though, that really kind of, I don't want to say bothered me, was that if it was a work, then they should have put some sort of publication out the next day talking about the extent of Undertaker's injuries and yada yada. Because in 19 different matches at WrestleMania, this was by far the most brutal one Taker has ever been in.
Oh, I agree. Totally.
I mean, it was brutal. And at his age, I wouldn't be surprised if he was just wiped the hell out when it was over.
Well, Kevin, we'll throw it to you. Some folks in our chat room are already talking about that particular thing, an idea of them going on to WrestleMania in Miami. A couple of other folks are saying, no, that's too long an absence. Some are saying, no, maybe do it at SummerSlam. But, I mean, your thoughts on the way the match ended, and would you like to see Triple H, Taker, part Trey?
As far as the match on Sunday, I honestly thought it was just a simple game, so... Okay, so it was a simple case
what
of...
What the crap was that?
I was trying to keep going. That was funny.
Well, that I believe that would be this opinion is brought to you by Made in Georgia.
Yeah, basically. wow, that was new for this downloader. Okay, that's cool.
That was awesome. where was I? I thought it was just a case of he's probably exhausted. That was a very brutal match. I don't know how much I want to see, I guess, next year's rematch, whatever that would be. It just seems like maybe they should find the young and up-and-coming star over the course of the next year, build somebody up, and have him be the person to take out Taker. That would just, you know, elevate somebody to incredible height. I'm really not interested in seeing Triple H Taker again, even though they did put one hell of a match together.
Well, Phil, I mean, I've seen the actual WWE trainer a few times come out, as you know, in reference, go back to Triple H, when the two times he's destroyed his quadriceps in the ring. What were your thoughts on the way it ended? And are you, like Kevin, you're kind of indifferent to a Triple H Taker 3?
I won't say no to it. I like that they left it open ended. Because I'm not sure if Undertaker's positive if he's gonna do it again or not. I mean, they mentioned it and they left the door open for it, but he was not even close to 100% probably heading into this show, which actually makes his performance in this match all the more impressive, I think, in that he had shoulder surgery in the fall, in October or November, and it was not entirely successful and left him in the way that he needed to be for WrestleMania. They weren't even sure he was going to be able to go at WrestleMania until January or February. So I thought the ending was entirely work. I thought it was him just kind of maybe even on the fly deciding, you know what, we're going to really sell this big time because this was brutal. I think he was in a heck of a lot of pain because going, you know, knowing what
what he did during the match and what his physical condition was, he had to be just in horrible pain at the end of that match. And probably so was Triple H, for that matter. But, you know, one guy, and, you know, Kevin mentioned, you know, maybe, you know, some of the other people who could take the match against Undertaker next year. My first thought after the match was, okay, well, now he's done Triple H, he's done Shawn Michaels, he's done Ric Flair, you know, so many other, Kane, he's done twice now at WrestleMania. My thought was maybe even Chris Jericho, because they've been kept apart so much. They've not worked very often, but, you know, it seems pretty obvious that it's more than likely going to be Triple H again.
Yeah, can I just jump right back into that for a second?
Sure.
If it is Triple H Undertaker next year, once again, your two biggest matches are going to be filled with veterans. I'm going to include John Cena up in there also. The whole idea, especially considering this is going to be a year from now, shouldn't they be looking towards the future? Is that a real smart call to have guys who currently can, you know, probably are feeling like crap today because of how brutal it was Sunday. A year from now, the body's going to be even more torn down. Do you really want to have a year-long build to the next WrestleMania with four guys who no one else can even come close to, and it will overshadow the rest of the card?
Well, that's the thing with hot-shotting something like they did last night is, you know, I mean, there are boxing matches that are planned out 6 months in advance. I'm sure Spug and Mace can testify, being UFC people. What's the average announced time that an announced to the actual match is going to take place? Say, like, for the next UFC that's in Toronto, how long are they given to train?
That the fight between GSP and Jake Shields was announced in what, Mace? January?
January, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, anywhere from 3 to 6 months on average.
Okay. Because it just seems a little awkward that a year away we're going to have these two.
The only way, you know, part of the reason why Mania didn't feel like Mania yet Sunday was that there was no money in the bank, to be quite honest with you. I've grown so accustomed to seeing that match on that card as the opener to get that crowd going, and it wasn't there.
Because now it's July 17th at the Allstate Arena.
I'm pretty sure you're going to see Money in the Bank make a return, or some semblance of a high stipulation match return to Mania.
We can only pray, because
that was
awful.
I wouldn't be totally shocked, because I know there's still talks about unification. You know, if people within Connecticut listen to us, and we know they do,
because I'm one of the folks that said, you know, wouldn't it be funny if they do this at WrestleMania in Miami when The Rock goes into the Hall of Fame, and what happens, Spug?
Well, we know they do. So, people in Connecticut who are listening, I want you to pull on Vince's ear. Next year, four-way ladder match for the unification of the IC and US title. Because I'm pretty sure Kofi Kingston's not going to get elevated to the main event at that point. I'm pretty sure Daniel Bryan's still going to be toiling around in the mid-card at that point. So there's two. And if you haven't elevated Ziggler, there's three. So you just need a fourth. And that match will probably steal the show, to be quite honest with you.
It's an interesting point. I need to move on to the Great Muda herself. That would be Snooki, with Trish Stratus and John Morrison defeating Lay Cool and Dolph Ziggler. And if you watch Monday Night Raw, Vicky and Dolph are putting the blame totally on Lay Cool for this one. But I'm sorry, as soon as she hit that handspring, I'm just going, okay, who's been feeding her tapes? Because I'm sorry, I know I'm referencing a man who possibly could have been in the Hall of Fame in the near future, Keiji Muda, if you want to go that route. But that was a straight out Great Muda handspring elbow, and I want to know whose jaws did not hit the floor when she hit that damn thing.
I wasn't honest at all, honest surprise She's been known to be a gymnast in the past. I mean, she's done gymnastics. She's
in the bedroom or out?
Just no, out.
No, she's a gymnast.
She's done it for 7 years. So
you know what?
Really?
Yeah.
That's amazing. I now can say I learned something tonight. That's really cool.
I got a defender. I really do have to defend Snooki. Because she didn't go in there and make a fool of herself.
Yep.
She didn't go in there and make a fool of the business or the event. She was very respectful, albeit drunk during the pre-tape thing a couple weeks ago. But she was respectful. She didn't treat this as a giant joke. She did take it somewhat seriously. And you saw the girls got hops. I don't understand why everybody's got a basher for it.
For fuck's sakes. I honestly give a pop. She had more moves than Michael Cole. That's a shame for me to say that you have more freaking moves than Michael Cole and you have no idea what the hell you're doing. She did it to the point of where, yeah, she did like all the handspring stuff and I mean, she knew what she was doing and, you know, she didn't mess up. I mean.
Now, as well, Kevin now, go ahead.
I was just going to say the whole point of professional wrestling is to hide the weaknesses and accentuate the strengths. Clearly her weaknesses would have been wrestling and actually doing wrestling moves, and her strengths would be her gymnastic background, her cheerleading background, and you know, they just focused on the things she was going to be able to do. And as somebody's just said, you know, she didn't embarrass herself, and you know, she was not the worst thing on that card.
Hey, I just saw The Rock on Jay Leno.
Oh, he's going to be on Leno tonight?
Yeah.
Interesting. We may have to tune that on soon. Since Kevin outed himself last week as a Jersey Shore watcher, he has since mailed in a man card to radio@allinworldofwrestling.com. Do you think any of her Jersey Shore buds that weren't on TNA's roster were sitting in the audience going, "Go, Nicole, go," or were they all sitting there going, "That's my payday, bitch"? Since Jay Giggs are selling weight loss supplements.
I honestly don't know how much of an effect she had in terms of buy rate or whether or not anybody else is going to come in. But as everyone was saying, like, what she did was incredible, not simply because obviously she probably doesn't know what the hell she was doing there in the first place outside of getting a payday, but she didn't embarrass herself in front of a very large crowd of people. Now I think we kind of forget about the fact that this is somebody who is coming in and performing in front of, what was the number, 70-something thousand people?
71,000.
716, including Jersey and Mike Ligori.
How crazy is that? I personally, I'd have been nervous as all hell. Granted, she probably was drunk, but she, like I said, didn't make a fool of herself. It was actually probably one of the more shocking moments of the night, if you don't want to call it a highlight, but I can't hate on that. That was a WrestleMania moment, as sad as that is to say.
Yeah, for fans that are TNA people like Kevin and Mason, myself, when I heard the number 71,716 on Sunday, I typed into the chat that we were having, and Omega nearly, I believe, spit his drink all over the place when I said, "Hey, that's the entire amount of people that watched that went to TNA live events in 2010. And that's a shame, because they want to be big time. When TNA can fill a bill, and TNA can claim, "Well, when we go to Japan and we do the Tokyo Dome show, it's filled like that." Right. You're filling it with New Japan talent, kids. This one was filled with WWE talent. And that leads us to our main event of the evening, which, I kind of liked Mike the Miz Mizanin's intro. Yeah. That video package was pretty cool. I thought it was amazing how many Hulk Hogan references we have throughout this evening. And we're not even going to talk about Ric Flair being at the Hall of Fame at the moment. But, I mean, it was a nice video package. The one they did for Cena was a little over the top, but I welcome, you know, heaven forbid Cena be outdone.
In the remaining time we've got, we'll go to Jersey. And then she said she wanted to talk real fast about Raw, but live crowd, at least from my headphones sitting here in, you know, the man cave in Tampa Bay, Florida, seemed like it was, let's just boo the crap out of Cena because we can. Was that how it felt live in the Georgia Dome?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Were you one of them booing, or were you cheering on?
I was cheering. Like, honestly, this is what happened. We stayed for the entrances because we honestly really thought that Taker and Triple H were going to be the main event, or we would have stayed for the whole thing. But it was, we were shocked when Taker and Triple H weren't the main event and Cena and Miz were. So we stayed for the entrances, which is really actually kind of funny because now I can't get, you can hate me now song out of my head.
And gotta love a gospel choir to bring the white guy to the ring, don't we, Kevin?
I honestly hated that entrance too, by the way.
Yeah, was that one of his worst entrances, Spug? I mean, didn't we have a car in Detroit or another craziness?
I didn't mind it. I thought it was good.
It was better than last year, but I honestly, I liked the WrestleMania 25 when he had like the whole like Eminem, Cena, people lined up.
That was
Which I
good.
Knew a couple of those people. Corey Chavis was one of them.
that one was good. Let's face it. In the realm of WWE entrances over the past few years at Mania, that's honestly one of the better ones.
Mm. I mean, like I said, it was better than last year, but I didn't like it. But I do have to make the comment because I know you guys said you wanted me to get off around like 11:30-ish, and I gotta go to bed anyway.
Yeah, you're the one with the big job, so.
Yeah, I do have a job. I don't get paid that much, but I have a job.
You know my job.
Yeah,
you know
yeah. Rub it in. Rub it in, why don't you? Yeah.
You rub it into Australia.
You want to go chase after 16 4- and 5-year-olds? Please do my job.
I'm wiped out enough chasing the 2-year-old around this house.
Exactly. So, yeah, nothing to complain about. But, yeah, the one thing about our seats last night at Raw, I'm not sure if they showed the sign, but when Sin Cara? Did they show the sign that the guy held up? It said Sin Cara on it?
Might have.
Did you see that, like, after he attacked the thing and some guy?
No, they didn't show the sign. Why? Get to the point.
I was, like, 3 people away from that guy if they showed the sign up. I was, like, 3 people away from him, like, off to the right. But
we'd have to go back and look at the video.
Yeah, go back and look at the video. You'll see him, and I'm, like, 3 people over from him, which is kind of funny.
Wow.
The second thing I want to mention, and I know I'm probably going to get a chuckle out of this because I actually started laughing when I saw. At Access, we're walking towards to go eat somewhere. One of the guys had an Ultimate Warrior shirt on, and I just started laughing out of nowhere because I started thinking about the Ultimate Warrior commercial that you guys did.
Switch Road Warrior Animal pop for like crazy. Don't forget you can get that archive at Click Wrestle and iTunes. So we're glad you had fun.
Yeah, I had a blast.
You're already making plans for Miami, I'm guessing.
Oh, hell yeah.
All right. We're going to keep going here. We're going to let Jersey Girl get to sleep. So thanks for calling in. We appreciate it.
No problem. Bye, guys. All righty. Talk to you later.
Thanks again.
Uh-huh. Bye.
All right. To Kevin, as I mentioned, a 600,000-member choir, it seemed like, brought Marky Mark to the ring. Would it have been more suitable if Mark Wahlberg himself had shown up and did the intro?
It was a very long intro. It was uncomfortable because the crowd obviously didn't appreciate it, especially after the over-the-top video that preceded it. I don't even know how to talk about the entrance without just making really horrible and offensive jokes. Way too over the top, and it kind of killed a lot of what happened afterwards for me, at least. I was taken out of the moment from that.
Well, to no, Phil, who had
ignore Phil?
I'm going to Phil. Well, who had the better intro in your mind? Was the Miz's video package better, or did you like Cena's thing, and why?
I thought that the Miz's was significantly better. I thought it, and you know, it might have even been better off if they, you know, they potentially put one or both of those videos on the Go Home show for WrestleMania, because they were just so well done. I mean, they were both intros were very, very good, but the Miz's in particular, he's somebody who tends to kind of, I don't know, maybe when you know, they're booking a show that they tend to forget about, and you know, that was almost the story of the show. It's like, well, you know, I'm in this match too, you remember me. But the Hate Me Now, you know, the Nas song playing in there was just perfect. And I don't know, it's funny, even, you know, when you get you know, all the MTV footage for the Snooki angle, and they're using MTV footage for the Real World angle too. Isn't MTV part of Viacom, which is partners with Spike TV? And isn't it kind of funny that they're getting all that footage on WWE television?
Yeah, it was a little awkward.
I didn't have a problem with Cena's entrance, though. I thought the choir was nice. I felt bad for them that they were getting booed because they weren't doing a bad job, but they were getting booed because they were singing John Cena's song, and people like booing John Cena.
Yeah, I got to sidetrack for a second here. One of our chat room residents, WWF Forever, says he found this on WWE.com. Pursuant to WWE's concussion policy, the stunt of using a folded metal chair shot to the head is prohibited. Triple H and The Undertaker have both been fined for violating this policy at WrestleMania 27. WWE penalizes through fine and or suspension for this policy, which is unchanged and still in effect. Okay. Because Yeah, I thought Mace can maybe testify to it because he was in our chat room. Didn't Omega or you make the reference that it looked like we had some hand blockage a la Triple H hand block?
There was a hand block in place, but I think it might have been a touch too late.
Yeah, we may have to get out the Zapruder film to check on that one. So thank you to WWF Forever and our chat room for pointing that out to us.
Telling me you're going to suspend Taker and Triple H for saving your biggest pay-per-view of the year? Okay. Yeah,
son-in-law, okay. Take a bullet here. I'm sorry. I got to agree. The son-in-law, that's what are they going to do? I'm part owner of the damn company. What's next? To go back to Phil as we wrap up this very interesting WrestleMania segment, the match itself and the finish itself, were you fine with the way it ended?
In a way, yeah, because I felt that, you know, for almost probably one of the first times in the history of WrestleMania, you know, typically WrestleMania is the culmination of the whole year's stuff. And in the case of Miz and Cena and Rock, this is actually more of the beginning of a build to something else, which is strange. It doesn't normally happen at WrestleMania, but they had to do what they did. It was very odd seeing Mike Chioda hit 10 on the double countout. I did not expect that, but that was one heck of a shot that the Miz took falling over that. That was not padded. That was legitimate, like actual concrete that he smashed his head on going.
Yeah, he claimed in his promo that he had a concussion from that.
That's legitimate.
Like,
according to a couple of sources today, he really did crack his head on the concrete, and he actually was not able to do anything physical last night on Raw, and that's why Riley did the thing with Austin. But you know what? The match was weird. It was strange to have that match end the show. But I'm never somebody that's going to say no to putting a title match on last on a show like WrestleMania. I mean, even when Triple H fought Jericho, I didn't like that it was where it was. But it was the world title match. You know, it's the world title match at WrestleMania. That should be the most exciting and most important thing about WrestleMania. I was happy with the decision to keep the belt on The Miz. I thought that was the right call. I think that they realized that, you know, and for anybody, you know, and Kevin said it earlier about, you know, having maybe veterans and guys who have been around a long time headlining WrestleMania, you got to go with what draws. And they do go back to a lot of their old reliables, but they are really attempting to make new stars now, and that's why we saw The Miz and Alberto Del Rio in world title matches at WrestleMania that were built up pretty well. So
looks like
no big complaints by me, but that's what I think.
And it looks like we have a late arrival to Online World of Wrestling Radio. Would this happen to be the birthday boy himself?
I don't know about that, Alan. How are you doing?
We're doing good. Jim Barcelone joining us on Online World of Wrestling Radio. He's late to the show, but we appreciate him being here. We're talking main event here. For you, was the payoff of The Miz retaining the championship and the way it ended good for you? Or were you sitting there going, God almighty, what are they thinking?
With the way it ended, it showed to me who the top guy is right now. And to me, it's not The Miz. And to me, it's not the title belt. The main thing, and we even saw that manifest itself over the next day, because when do they announce the main event for WrestleMania? A year in advance. The main guy is The Rock. The Rock is the main guy. John Cena is WWE, but the main guy right now is not The Miz, it's not Cena, it's The Rock. So the way they ended that show, who was standing there with his arm raised in the air? It wasn't The Miz with the title, it wasn't Cena with his Fruity Pebbles shirts, it was The Rock. So to me, the way they ended it, hey, they built up for weeks. The Rock is hosting WrestleMania. Everybody buy the pay-per-view, watch and see what The Rock's going to do. It was them going back to the past, bring back Rock, which I don't have a problem with right now. I really don't, because let's face it, no matter who's there, the only time they had a spike in the ratings on an upswing was really when The Rock was on. With Cena, with Miz, with Orton, with Edge, it's been pretty much the same. So they got that jump a little bit in the numbers when Rock is there. They're going to milk Rock as much as they can. Now we're going to have him on and off periodically. He's not going to be there every week. He'll be there every once in a while. He'll be there through satellite. He'll be there other ways. But this is all building up for The Rock. This is The Rock's return, The Rock's time, and they're going to milk it as much as they can. And like I was just listening here, and try to elevate a few guys, whether it's The Miz. There'll probably be someone else thrown in the mix. They'll try to elevate. They did this, they didn't do this with The Rock, but they did this with CM Punk, giving him the belt, but basically he wasn't the top guy, but they were doing it to try to elevate someone else. I didn't have a problem with the way it ended, but it proved to me that this is all about The Rock.
No, did it feel, I mean, Kevin was on with us last week, so was Phil, Spug, Jersey, Graham, Cawthon, Scott Fishman, and Phil all got The Miz right. Kevin went with a no contest. You almost had it, dude. You almost had it with the double count out. Were you sitting there going, yes, I got it right. Wait, what the hell?
Honestly, no, because I was pissed that they actually went with it. It was not well booked in terms of the whole time strain argument. It's a four-hour show. Time shouldn't be a problem. That should never be an issue with a four-hour show. You should have plenty of time. As soon as, you know, they went over the barricade, Rock comes out, gives a little speech about, no, we're going to restart this match. These two guys who were laid out throughout the entire speech, you know, immediately jumped to the feet, got back in the ring. They did a little 10 seconds worth, and, you know, Rock screws Cena. It was just bizarre. It didn't feel like the end of WrestleMania. That clearly was not the best option they could have gone with. And it ended the show that was already on a severe down note for me just horribly.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it here last week, guys. Mace was not here for it, but Spug and I were for it. And so were Kevin and Phil. We almost felt that this was going to turn into WrestleMania 9 when Hulk Hogan out of nowhere won the world championship. Did Mace or Spud, did you possibly see that possibly coming when he made his way down the rampway?
I thought, to be quite honest, that if Rock was going to be in the title game, if he was going to be in the title picture and in the match at Mania, then he was going to be put into it well before Mania. You know, at least a couple of weeks. So.
Whereas me, on the other hand, I reckon if we're going to see Rock make a move into the title match or anything at Mania, we would have heard him announce it at the start of the night to give people something to look forward to. But, you know, The Rock doesn't exactly need to be in a match to steal the spotlight from everybody else around him. Bastard.
Yeah, don't forget.
I told you all. Fucking nobody listens to me.
Yeah, Fast Five coming soon with theater near you. While we've got everybody here, and we may get Sir Rockin' involved in this too, we'll move from WrestleMania in our final segment to something that comes up around this time every year. And that is WWE's annual spring cleaning. Or as we like to say, thank you for coming to WWE Superstars. Here's your bag of goodies on the way out. I'll give the gentleman on the phone lines, which is Scott, which is Kevin Scott, which is Phil Strom, Jim Barcelona, a second or two. I want to do it to Spug and Mace because they knew this was coming for a little while here. And I believe Sorokin said this was a quick hits question on Wrestle Talk Radio. And I apologize. I did not do the show Sunday night, but as you heard my executive producer, who has finally gone to sleep at 11:45 at night, had a cold. So Sunday at 11 o'clock after the pay-per-view, she decided to wake up and go, "Hi, Daddy." I'm like, "Oh crap. There we're doing WTR. There's been rumors going around that WWE Superstars is going in the can, never to be seen again. So that, coupled with, you know, I believe Mace, you had mentioned it, that there's an international TV deal that NXT is being kept around for that purpose.
Superstars.
Oh, it's Superstars has an international deal as well?
Yes, both of them do. That's why they're both going to be both on WWE.com.
Okay, well, let's look at the roster as a whole, and Sorokin, or the internet god himself, will chime in here as well if he likes to.
Sure.
Well, we'll throw it to you first. Give me a few names of, if you have Johnny Ace, Johnny Laurinaitis, Johnny Laryngitis, some other colorful names that have been used on kayfabe commentary DVDs for him. Job, who right now is future endeavored to TNA Wrestling or other places, and why?
To TNA Wrestling? I don't know why. Tyler Rex, Yoshitatsu, Primo. There are a couple of names off the top of my head that probably will be gone.
That's just okay, mind. Mace, give me a few people who's got to get the chop.
Do you want the full list, or do you want me to
give us
abbreviate?
Many as you want.
Because seriously, I sat there before the show, opened up the WWE roster page, and started looking, and I'm like, yeah, you.
Reenact Triple H and Shawn Michaels with Vince McMahon, as the rumor went around back in the day that they sat in Indianapolis and chopped up the roster. So chop your roster, please.
All right. Despite the fact that he just got used on SmackDown this week, Trent Beretta, bye-bye. Tamina, you're going out the door. Skip Sheffield, enjoy OVW while you've got it. Rosa Mendez, well, we still don't care who the crap you are, so please, doors over there. Michael Tarver, Spug's, one of Spug's faves. Unfortunately, I don't see him coming back off his injury to be anything on the roster.
No, not one of my faves. I actually know him.
No, my apologies. You poor bastard.
Break
her
on the way out.
Despite her mention on Tough Enough last night, Alicia Fox, there's the door. The Usos, thanks for coming. Husky Harris, please go back to OVW. We might see you in 12 months. Oh, look, here's the end of your contract.
Here Kurt it Hawkins. Is. Axel, don't forget, Axel. Oh God, I can't believe it. I can't even say the name. Yeah, I don't want to say the name because Axel Mulligan just sounds bad. Go to YouTube, type in Axel Mulligan, AXEL. So continue with your list. We'll all have a drink of water in tribute to you.
Chris Masters and your dancing pecs, please dance them out the door. Vladimir Kozlov, you poor bastard, enjoy your American citizenship because, well, at least you got that out of this job. And then the three that I reckon people are going to disagree with. Alex Wrighty, Brodus Clay, and Daniel Bryan.
No. Alex Riley's not going anywhere. Neither is Daniel Bryan, and neither is Brodus Clay. Those three are staying.
I told you someone who'd disagree.
I disagree, too, because I think Daniel Bryan's going to SmackDown.
They're... Undertaker's leaving. They're going to start rebuilding that SmackDown roster, because in the next 12 to 18 months, Taker, Triple H, Edge, and Rey Mysterio will all retire.
You heard it here first, fans.
In the next 12 to 18 months, all four of them will be gone. So you have to start rebuilding. And if you're not going to rebuild SmackDown, then you need to at least absorb it into Raw so the entire roster travels back and forth.
I had no idea that wrestlers retire.
Yeah, those are four big right, those are four big names too. I could see Taker retiring, but I don't know about the others. These guys have it in their blood. I still think we're going to see HBK come back soon. I don't think these guys will ever really leave. Taker's been doing it for a long time. His body is so banged up. Whenever he wants to go, he'll go. But the other ones, I don't know. You know, they say they retire. Look what happened to Ric Flair. They never, all the big, big stars especially, they're always back. They're always around in some way or another. And let's face it, if you lose that many big names at that one time, what are you going to do? I mean, you're trying to build up stars, but who are you going to build up right now?
Well, here's the thing. Edge has come out and said that he wants to retire within the next year.
Yeah, and four years ago, Kane said that. Kane said four years ago? You know what? I'm going to have too much. I'm tired of this. I don't know. A lot of them say that. But, you know, when it comes, push comes to shove, it's like, do I really want to leave this? You know, look at HBK. Even though he's retired, he's been back. He hasn't wrestled, but he's been back. And I expect him to be wrestling again.
Dude, Austin's been back. He hasn't wrestled, but he's been back.
He can't. He's told you.
Well, when you retire, you retire. I don't know any baseball, football, basketball player, when they retire, they're still around. You don't see it, but in wrestling, they retire and they're still there.
There's a difference between retiring, and retiring from the ring. I could see Edge sticking around the company, but I'm pretty sure he didn't want to be in the ring anymore.
I don't know. I'd still say, you know what? I don't see too many of them when they retire. They leave, and that's it. And even these guys that are older, and then we get a chance. Look what happened when Steamboat, what was it? Steamboat, Piper, Snuka. Who was the fourth one? I mean, they jumped at the chance. They jumped at the chance to get back in the ring and all. These guys are retired. And look at the Hall of Fame. This is the funny thing I think about the Hall of Fame, because this is not just a one-time thing. Almost everybody that goes to that Hall of Fame that has been wrestling in a while on a big stage, they're always like, hey, I got one more run in me. Hey, WWE, Sonny, Abdullah the Butcher. 70-year-old Abdullah the Butcher. Hey, I might be back in the ring I might be able to get in WWE. They all want to be there. They all want to still be in it. I just don't buy when they say they're going to retire. It's more WWE saying, hey, we don't want you. Sorry, goodbye. But if they could still do it. They'll do it.
And how many times has Terry Funk retired now? 186.
Oh, my God.
his retirement parties have retirement parties.
It's like, hey, he's as good as the Cher farewell tour.
Or Phil Collins or anyone else. Okay. Give me a few names, Jim. I know you're saying you want to build stars, but it's an annual rite of passage with this company. We've seen it before. Some folks in our chat room have chimed in. Michael Gorey left the phone line but stayed with us. He said he could see D.H. Smith and Tyson Kidd leaving. One of the folks in the chat room wants to get rid of Evan Bourne, but why get rid of him?
No, not Evan Bourne.
Is it the folks that are normally on Superstars that are going to get the chop?
If you look at the past history here, that's usually the way it goes. I mean, have they even... Then using the Usos, one wins the THQ video game challenge, and I think that's going to be their swan song, so to speak. It's going to be sometimes the names like that. The thing you got to wonder too, though, is WWE is so entrenched internationally that some of these foreign type wrestlers, whether they're on TV here or not, they're going to keep them as long as they can, just because when they do that international touring, they like to keep them on the roster because it gives them that more of that camaraderie, so to speak, when they do go overseas and they have wrestlers with that type of background and all. So I think in that sense, some of those wrestlers, men and women, will be saved because of just the international impact that WWE has in traveling around the world. But you got some of them in there that if they're going to make cuts, that's basically what is going to end up happening. And it's just the way the business goes. As much as people want to bash TNA or praise TNA, it's better we have TNA and more groups like that, because without them, it gives WWE more leeway to do whatever it wants. And still, they're going to do whatever they want. But, you know, there's only a certain amount of time before you're like, geez, we're losing all these people, and then they're going to TNA, and some of them are doing well. Do we want to keep doing that? Isn't there a way we keep some of these people around and make everybody, try to make everybody happy? But, if that's the case, and that's why there's not anybody owning a sports entertainment / pro wrestling business.
Yeah, which we'll reference that in a moment or two. Kevin, give me some people you want to chop.
Not so much I want to chop, but I definitely see a lot of names that were mentioned. The guys from Superstars, Usos definitely I've thought about before. The one main one I'm worried about is Bryan Danielson. I can see him being future endeavored. I wouldn't be totally surprised. If he does make the move to SmackDown, I hope the, if not so much heal him up, but bring back the guy who spat in Cena's face that first night. That's the Bryan Danielson I want to see in the WWE.
Do you want him to get the big beard he had in ROH back?
Yes. Hell, I want him back in ROH, I'll be honest. If I could have my way, he'd go back to ROH. Skip TNA completely.
To Phil, do you agree with the names that have been used here, or do you have someone that you've been dying to get the pen out and go, you, gone?
I agree with what Jim said in terms of the guys who do have a value to the company outside of just wrestling, in terms of the great Kali in India, Yoshitatsu in Japan, and I get it. I understand that. I think they would be absurdly stupid to get rid of Bryan Danielson again, because that would just be a very, very bad idea. I think he, like CM Punk, will eventually find his groove in the company and then, find his correct niche, and he's getting there. What I think they need to look at when they do their spring cleaning is more along the lines of which guys are possibly a little bit older, have been around a while, and really haven't gotten anywhere above the level that they're at. And on that realm, I'm thinking about Tyler Rex. I mean, this guy doesn't show me very much at all. As nicely as I can say that. JTG, he's been around a long time, and he's just kind of floating around doing a whole lot of nothing. Rosa Mendez, I can't say that she's gotten very much better in her entire run of the company. She's been around for a while in the system. Kurt Hawkins, when Zack Ryder's even ahead of you, where do you go? Hornswoggle, I got to think that Hornswoggle's in trouble. What does he do?
He does
nothing.
Yeah, he looks like mini Fred Durst.
He sells merchandise, but I mean, that's about it. I think that, you'd be silly to get rid of the guys like Harry Smith and Tyson Kidd. And guys, what you want on the lower card and your mid card of your rosters is you want guys who can really work. And, the Primo Colones and the Tyson Kidds of the world, those are the guys you want to flesh out your roster with, guys that can really, really go. And, they usually do a pretty good job of filling up the roster with that. But you know what? FCW, and Alan could probably attest to this, they're probably overloaded with guys right now.
And then some. just came across from our friends at Nielsen Media. The post-WrestleMania Raw did a 3.8 off of a hours of 3.71 and 3.93, which averaged to 5.6 million viewers. Because that's amazing, because it actually drew less than 200,000 viewers. It was 200,000 more people watched last week's Monday Night Raw. Now, here's a shocker. This is pretty amazing that despite WWE, some people thinking a Raw bomb, Tough Enough did a 2.51, which is 3.3 million people. and actually had two additional replays that did a 0.97 and a 0.56. So that's almost 5 million people that watched it in the three airings that it had. Now that we've got Jim here, I've been saving this and trying to figure a way to bring this up. But I thought this was an actual April Fool's joke that was played on everybody. But apparently it is not, because it is reported by several media types, including our own and All Our World of Wrestling, that WWE apparently is going to cease doing business under the name of World Wrestling Entertainment, Inc., and instead will be now known as WWE, Inc., to eliminate the word wrestling from their name. Several websites have said that the now good word wrestling should not, no under circumstances, be used going forward. All promotional material will be rebranded with the WWE name, and wrestlers should be addressed as superstars or sports entertainers. Apparently during the Hall of Fame, everyone's WWE was referenced as sports entertainment industry or business rather than wrestling or industry or business. One friend, fan emailed us at RadioAllIWorldWrestling.com, said, let's see how long it'll take for it to become Entertainment Mania.
Alan?
Yes?
You're doing that tunnel thing again.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah, you're better.
It's because the computer is going, it's midnight, I want to go to bed, but it can't. So, to Spug, are we fine with losing wrestling from the name of this company? I mean, it seems like Kevin Dunn's wanted to do that for years. Why do we even have the damn ring out there?
No, 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 no. Don't be stupid. Don't be stupid and start alienating the people who go to your events, because while the soccer moms and the vans full of kids that show up to root for John Cena are nice, at one point they're not going to be there anymore. It's going to be your armory crowd that, you know, that shows up every event. That's so, you know, we get it. We get it that you don't want to be associated with wrestling, but for Christ's sakes, that's what you are. So in some form or fashion, don't think us stupid and ignorant, and just call it what it is.
Sir Rock, and you wanted to join us.
It's weird, the whole thing about them getting rid of the word wrestling, yet they had a press conference with Pee Wee Herman that weekend, and what was the word of the day or whatever Pee Wee Herman uses? Wrestling.
Thanks.
People wouldn't be screaming much.
Just saying.
So Ellen, you know, as a radio program that deals with the action comedy drama, or whatever we want to call ourselves, when are we changing this to Online World of Entertainment Radio?
I think I have to talk to the big kahunas. I got to talk to Brad Dykens and Jason Dodridge to see if the word wrestling has been banned from. I wonder if Vince, Jim, is heading to Congress. That's why he wants Linda in office, so Linda can enact the banishment of the word wrestling from the English language. It'll become a constitutional amendment.
Well, look, they've been calling this sports entertainment for how long? They've changed it to superstars and divas. They have their own film company making movies. You've always wanted to be accepted by Hollywood, the movie folks, and people like that, and they still all laugh at him. He's trying and trying and trying. I think, in one regard, you can call it whatever the heck you want, but his WWE universe is still going to watch. This thing has changed so much from back in the Killer Kowalski, Bruno Sammartino days, and after all that time, he still has a following. From when his dad had it, to him, and all the changes he made, cartoon characters, Attitude Era. Rated R. Rated PG-13. Rated PG. Going with the Mae Young skits. Going with actual wrestling matches. Going with comedy. Going with stupid backstage segments with actors who really can't act. And still, he has a following. So I don't care. He can call it wrestling. He can call it sports entertainment. He can call it tiddlywinks for all I care. Guess what? No matter what, at the end of the day, he's still going to have a following. So I see it that way with what's going on. The move to me is apparent that the reason if they are going to do this, it's for the simple fact that they don't want to be known as wrestling. They haven't wanted to be known as wrestling for a while. They want to be sports entertainment. They are figuring that that gives them more of an avenue for publicity and marketing and trying to reach people who still consider the word wrestling as not so much a good thing, and to try to be taken serious, and I don't mean serious by other athletes or other movie stars, but actually from the Hollywood directors and the writers and the Actors Guild and those that give out the Grammy Awards, those that give out the Emmy Awards, which, I mean, say what you want about WWE, WWF, whatever, but you can mean to tell me after all these years, all the ratings that it has done, everything that the company has done, and they still get scoffed by the Emmy Awards? To me, that's amazing. I mean, yeah, this isn't great writing, but look at some of the shows on TV the last 10, 15, 20 years anyway. But he can never break that mold. And why can't he? Why can't he? Because when they hear the word wrestling, they laugh at him. To this day, I've read several books of some of the people with inside the industry, and they all say the same thing. When they try to get other writing jobs, they try to get other jobs, and they find out, oh, what did you do? What did you? Oh, you worked for? You wrote for a wrestling show? See you later. Bye. They don't care what the ratings were or what it was about. All that's what they hear, and that's their mentality. And that's the way they go. So whether he does it or not, I don't know, but I still think people will know what it is, no matter what you call it. But no matter what, he's still going to have a following.
Well, Mace, when we had David Lagan on a few weeks ago, he had talked about on his I Want Wrestling site that he had the opposite effect. He went from writing TV to going to WWE, and some of the cats that worked with him during that time, I believe, one of them left and did a season of Lost on ABC. So, I mean, do you dig what Jim is vibing there, or are you just going, whatever?
Well, I can sort of see where he's coming from, but at the same time, I don't think being a writer on a wrestling show is going to hamper you in other projects that much. Sure, it's going to be that one that you want to try and bury in the resume down underneath, I worked on Seinfeld for 4 years, or, I did, the latest KFC commercials. Try to hide it a little bit more on your resume, but it's not going to be something where, most companies are going to go, oh, you did wrestling, huh, get the fuck out of my office.
Well, Kevin, you're being someone who's done comedy events and you've probably done some form of auditioning. Does something like that actually come up where you're sitting there and you're suddenly turning and going, hey, don't you work for so-and-so? And I go, oh, yeah, but no, I don't want to talk about it. And Chris Jericho talked about it in his most recent book that he had issues when he was trying to go to Hollywood and do stuff. So, I mean, to Kevin, being that you're out there in the acting realm somewhat, I mean, you're not out there pounding the pavement going, I want to be in the next Transformers flick. I mean, take us into that mindset if you can.
Jim's correct in terms of that. Yes, that would hamper a little bit. As soon as they see wrestling, okay, the typical mainstream thing would go, okay, whatever, it's a joke. At the same token, changing the name doesn't change what it is. I seriously doubt that anyone can see, oh, WWE. Well, that's not exactly the same thing as it used to be. No problem in terms of getting this job. We know what it is. It's wrestling. It's the idea of taking a pedophile, but changing the name of that and going, okay, well, you might touch boys still, but you're not a pedophile at least. It makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. I don't understand. One, you are alienating your audience. You're telling them that we are embarrassed of you, and you should be embarrassed of yourself for watching this. And two, the mainstream doesn't care what you're calling it. It's wrestling.
Agree, disagree with the sentiments of the room, Phil.
A little bit of everything. I spoke to a representative from WWE a couple of weeks ago when I was putting together some of my pre-WrestleMania stuff, and, you know, I was made aware of the changes that they were making, and I was a little surprised, you know, in terms of the name change and that kind of thing. But it's all just a branding issue. I find it very, very funny in a way that TNA is the crowd that can have the fans that are chanting, "This is wrestling," yet the company that can put on something as good as The Undertaker and Triple H is the company that doesn't want to be called a wrestling company. And let's face it, they're not just a wrestling company. We all know that. They do a lot of other things that are not wrestling. They don't always do them well, but they are a lot of things other than wrestling. And I guess that is kind of the root of this change. I think at the end of the day, it's still always going to be professional wrestling, whether we want to or not. And I hand it to Vince McMahon in terms of the Hall of Fame and some of the other things that he does. He always does honor the history of the business. And he hasn't always done that, but in the last several years, he's done a great job of recognizing the men and women that have put their bodies on the line for the industry over the last several years. And at the end of the day, I still watch WWE, and I still think it's the best, you know, form of entertainment that it is. I mean, whether it's wrestling or whatever it is, it's still the industry leader. I'd love to see a company like Ring of Honor step up and get a television deal and surpass TNA, because I'm tired of watching TNA. I want something else in there, and I want an alternative. And Ring of Honor Wrestling is the alternative to what WWE is. I don't think it matters what you call it.
It's wrestling.
Okay. At this point, we have to let Jim and Kevin and Phil go. Thank you all for being here with us. At this point, this is where we normally wrap our program, and I want to thank Mace for... I feel bad that Mace's profession turned on him, but it's our blessing that he was here tonight to help us out. Are you back on all of the shows, including Otaku Talk?
I shall be back for everything that I was a part of before. So whatever the hell I was doing before, I'm doing that again.
Yeah, he's OTL, he subs on CB when he wants to bitch about something. He's on WTR, he's on this show, and he writes column thingies on the website.
Yeah, when is the next UFC event that you guys will do tap outs to knockouts for?
There's probably some strike force in here somewhere. No, UFC isn't until May. I don't know.
Check the website. We'll update.
Yeah, check website, because I can't be bothered looking stuff up right now.
Don't forget, this show and every show of Online World of Wrestling Radio can be found for download on wildtalkradio.com, can be found for download on Click Wrestle, which is the official on-demand site of Online World of Wrestling. You can also find us on iTunes each and every week when we put out our post-show release. Links to all three places can be found. Jim Barcelone is brought to you by MiamiHerald.com. Phil Strom is brought to you by the PoughkeepsieJournal.com. Mace, Spug, Sorokin, Omega, Will, Tim Stein, they come to you from Wrestle Talk Radio, which is on this network every Sunday at 10 p.m., unless there is a pay-per-view, which they're on at 11. This Saturday, as always, midnight-ish, Sorokin, Subway, the man who's the only one to pick Michael Cole. Damn, I want to know if he's up for that $200 million lottery here in Florida. I need to get some info from him. He might have it. Before we totally wrap, give me a drop if you can, Sorokin. Did Rob Parks have fun at Hall of Fame? He did. All right. Was he sober throughout the event? He was. Excellent. All right. Next week, we're possibly going to have Sean Oliver of Kayfabe Commentaries to talk about the ECW release recently with Sabu, the most recent release with Al Snow, the events that were filmed this weekend in Atlanta, which involved Perry Saturn, which involved Shane Douglas. We're working on for the week after to possibly have from Evolve, Jimmy Jacobs,
Reddy Sky and Larry Dallas. Don't forget, the email address is radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com. The website is onlineworldofwrestling.com. It's also wildtalkradio.com. Thanks to everyone for being with us in our chat room. We do this each and every week, 9 o'clock until we run out of material. And sucks that I got to play music for someone who is so damn creative, that got gunned down, and his murder will never be solved. So it's a sad song name to bring it out with. But Ready to Die by the Notorious B.I.G. I'm Alan Wojcik. Thanks for being with us on All the World of Wrestling Radio. And as always, I may not be on 24/7. My show's better than yours, bitch.
As I sit back and look when I used to be a crook, doing whatever it took from snatching chains to pocketbooks. A big bad motherfucker on the wrong road. I got some drugs, tried to get the avenue sold. I want it all from the Rolexes to the Lexus. Getting paid is all I expected. My mother didn't give me what I wanted.
WildTalkRadio.com.